What's poppin'? It's a Drew and Mike show for Thursday. I like these short weeks. I do.
Yeah.
An exciting show today. Mr. Skin 20 most iconic celebrity nude moments.
Yeah, it's a good list.
Yeah, it's there's definitely going to be some discussion.
It's funny how many of these celebrity nude moments you forget about, actually. Or at least I forgot about. I'm sure Trudy forgot about them all, too.
No, I have not. Challenge me. Well, I'll wait for Mr.
We'll look
Skin.
Forward to your commentary. And also, I'm really pumped that we're going to talk to George Young, Boston George, from the movie Blow, who will be at Grow Green. This is such a nice tie-in here. The Grow Green MI Fall Harvest Expo is this Saturday, October 5th, 10 to 5. Over 120 vendors, free samples, presentations, a clone swap, four seed companies, and lowest prices of the year throughout the store. It's free and open to everyone. $10,000 worth of giveaways, trimmer demos, glass blowers, food trucks, free event shirt to the first 400, and meet Boston.
Oh, yeah, I'm growing my own weed.
I enjoy growing my own weed now.
That's actual audio from last year.
I'll grow my own weed.
And Boston George will be on site signing autographs. That's so funny. He's like the biggest dealer in the history of the world outside of Pablo Escobar. He's signing autographs.
He's alive. It's amazing. I started watching Blow again. What a great flick.
It is a fabulous
one. So awesome.
I want to watch it tonight. I'm so pumped.
Yeah.
This Saturday, 10 to 5 at the Grow Green MI Fall Harvest Expo. Click growgreenmi.com. And George Young coming up. And you Facebook livers, where are your stupid comments?
When you grow your own pot, you're taking weed out of my children's mouths.
Stupid comments.
Well, Facebook Live
people.
Have
any stupid comments?
They're pretty nice, actually. It's
There's plenty of
stupid They're so always, loyal.
It's the stupid. Boner line. That's where all the stupid comments
oh,
are.
Oh, now come on. I thought it's that was a funny boner line.
It's not the complaint line. It's the boner line. It's the comment about anything line. I have to get all this crap. Angry people.
I thought it was somebody with a boner to pick. Was that the intent of calling it the boner line?
I wasn't involved.
It just gives you a boner.
Boner, huh?
I got a boner.
Trudy, we tried so many different words. It was the only one available with the word we wanted to use.
I remember hearing about that.
There were a few others, but that was the one that made the most sense.
It's catchy, though. I mean, you really hit on something with
Gary
the boner
Gary says, F those boner liners. I'm with you, Gary. He's a top fan, too. Look at all these top fans on here. Brian Albright, also a top fan.
Yeah.
Yeah,
good guy, Brian.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, meet you guys, right.
Don't forget our friends at MyBookie. If you want to double your paycheck or you just want to double your deposit, you can do that by joining MyBookie. They will double your first deposit. Use the promo code Drew, D-R-E-W, to activate the offer. That's promo code Drew. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. And by the way, Brandon, did you get my email?
I did. I got your email. It's regarding a...
injury reports?
It's regarding a Dr. Chow or something who's a fantasy guy. He likes to basically go down every single injury every single week for fantasy purposes. I actually listen to
his
podcast every
in?
Week.
Can he write scripts?
Yeah.
What kind of doctor is he?
He's a former MD.
Dude.
He was a doctor on some of the NFL teams in the past.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, apparently, some people are questioning whether the lock is a lock. Are you sure? Is the injury report specific as to how long he's out?
For Devin Singletary?
Yeah.
He's been day to day. He's been week by week.
But he's missed two games. That's not day to day. That's week to week.
Everybody misses
already.
Two games. Everybody misses two games in the NFL.
What if he gets
Could
replaced?
Be month to month.
200 yards.
What if someone runs better?
How's his replacement doing?
Frank Gore?
Yeah.
Just fine. He just surpassed 15,000.
Yeah. Whoa, doesn't sound like
yards.
They need... This guy.
Yeah, they better take their time getting him healthy then.
You'll see.
Don't want to ruin Devin Singletary's career.
You can bet on these fantasy guys on my bookie, too.
200 yards.
Overs,
You'll be thanking
unders.
Me later, by the way.
Wow.
The massive
I love
win.
The bravado.
Prop bets, in-game bets, parlays. Bet a little, win a lot, maybe, on mybookie.ag. Promo code Drew. You play, you win, you get paid with my bookie. Oh, George Young. I watched an interview with him today, and... You can tell he's talked about this stuff. I mean, really, for 30 years.
Yeah.
And I think he gets a little weary, so it's really, I was trying to think, how can I approach
this?
I mean, it's hard. He got animated at the end of the interview, but not about what I really want to talk to him about, which are sentencing laws. And,
Just want to know, was his girlfriend really as hot as Penelope Cruz?
I was looking at that earlier. And yeah, she was very beautiful, but she doesn't look she doesn't look anything like Penelope.
What's her name? Mirsa or Mirtha?
I don't know. Mirsa.
Is she named after her? She attained
named
the Mirsa virus?
Skin-eating bacteria?
Here, I'll show you real quick. Now, does this look like Penelope Cruz?
No!
She's got blonde hair!
She had blonde hair in the pictures I saw.
Yeah.
Although, wait, maybe she had dark hair. Nah. Yeah.
He claims...
He looks like Johnny Depp, though. Or Johnny Depp
does
look like
him. When he's younger.
And that's Kristen Sunshine, the daughter. Because that was the big bummer about the movie at the very, very, I mean, no spoiler alert, but...
spoiler. The movie's 18 years old.
I know, but it hurts you, you know, when, you know, the daughter comes to visit him at jail and then she fades away because she never did.
It's really sad because he put her first always. He didn't take unnecessary chances. He tried to go straight. He just was trying to make that one last big drug deal. And he wasn't able to pick her up from school because he got busted.
Oh, I know a question. After watching the movie, I want to know about the real first flight with Dooley. When they stole the plane and went down to Mexico.
It sounds to me like that was the plan, to steal planes. It's like, how do you steal planes? How do you start them? And then who flies them?
Remember they showed it in the movie? They cut the chains and Dooley flew it and the landing was just really rough.
What, they leave the key in the plane?
Oh, yeah.
George also flew some himself.
Did he really?
Yes, and then he said he had to get better pilots because he didn't really know what he was doing.
Well, like Dooley said, it's not the takeoff that's hard, it's the landing.
Who else said that?
Clark.
I think
Clark said that.
By the way,
planes want to fly themselves.
I wish he was around for me to ask, are there really keys in a plane?
There are.
Are there?
Because didn't the guy, our buddy that flew into the mountain in Seattle?
Bebo.
Didn't he have
the keys in the plane?
For those big jets, they...
I don't know. How did he steal the plane?
Go
what,
in.
Just on all the time, like my TVs?
Just press a button, because who would steal a giant plane?
Before, so I know what I'm doing a little bit.
Oh, man, I love Bebo.
They must not need keys, because why would that small plane, when George Jung, they had to cut the chain? Why chain it if you need a key?
Oh, right, yeah. It's like, chain it like a bike?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all mumbo jumbo. I have no idea what all that means. I wouldn't know how to punch it in off autopilot.
Oh, Christ.
I can't wait. Bebo
specials. Dan Evans comment?
Yes, Dan Evans.
I just liked it, too.
I just worked out. It's not the same outfit. I have sweatpants on.
Gross.
I put the show on before the show yesterday, so I worked out in it. I got hot.
Wear that outfit again.
God.
Nice that he's keeping track of your shirts.
Speaking of Pine Knob, someone called today and wanted to know, who's going to open DTE? Like, who can they get to replace...
Lord.
Well,
Eddie, how can he possibly?
But he didn't open last year.
No, I know he didn't. It was Sammy Hagar. But who is that kind of person who can sort of be the Toastmaster?
I think you just said it, Sammy Hagar.
You think Sammy goes on tour every year, though? I don't know.
Well, he will now. Why not?
That's the kid that made me do it!
What about Starship?
What about him?
They're available.
Let the record show I made a horrible face.
Oh, they're available.
No. Yeah, they are.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no, but didn't they...
What made Eddie Money a logical person to open anything?
Because he wanted to.
He was available.
He was available always to do that. But I don't know of anybody who's kind of that way.
I mean, they really made it sound like, oh, the season just... We couldn't even get started without Eddie Money opening.
That was good spin.
Kid Rock just do it.
So if the Rolling Stones opened, it would ruin the season... I mean, the Stones can't, they don't know how to open a venue.
Every season, the Stones would just like pull their act together and drag themselves across the Atlantic.
Well, it wouldn't work. The season would go badly if the Stones opened it, or people go, oh my God, they're just not ready to open. It's weird.
Derek on Facebook. We need
any money.
Derek on Facebook said Eddie's son could do it, the rest of the family.
Oh, that's true.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
Rich Bears is. He had two tickets. so many Twitter jokes about that.
Yeah.
George Jung, Boston George coming up, and he will be at Grogreen Saturday, 10 to 5. And that's at the location in what?
Whitmore Lake, right? Yeah, it's actually really easy to find.
Our friends and original sponsor, Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, have launched their Jeep Adventure Days. And it's exciting as it sounds, because during the Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Jeep Adventure Days, you can finally get the brand new Jeep you've been yearning for, like a 19 Jeep Compass Limited at $166 a month. Or the new loaded 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $268 a month. Plus, our friends at Zot have one of the largest Jeep inventories in the state, so that means lots of sweet Jeeps for you to choose from. They keep their value, too. People love Jeeps. Finally, you know we can't get through a Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram read without mentioning, you guessed it, Ram trucks. So at least a new 19 Ram Crew Cab Bighorn Edition is low as $145 a month. And yes, they've got an ass ton of Rams to choose from also. See details in their massive inventories at dealsinthed.com. Don't forget to go to Holly to register for dinner. October 11th. And Dr. Yaldo has been with us for a couple years now. Many people have gone in, gotten the life-changing surgery, whether it's a custom cat's LASIK from Dr. Yaldo. He's done about 30,000 of those. Or the lens exchange for people 45 plus who can't stand the reading glasses. He's number one in Michigan. Dr. Yaldo doesn't lure you in with promises of low-cost LASIK. Some people are doing that more and more these days. There's a lot of noise about low-priced LASIK. But then you go and find out what the real price is. If you have shopped for it, Dr. Yaldo promises Drew and Mike listeners he'll beat any LASIK offer you get.
Oh, my God, no way.
I know. It's incredible. Get the best. Pay the least. The evaluation is free. Call 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com.
Can you believe it?
Somebody with a David Hogg update.
Oh, really?
On Facebook Live.
What's he saying?
He's coming up on MSNBC next. But we have Boston George.
I know.
I haven't seen Hogg. Hogg has been, I haven't seen him anywhere.
He's laying low.
Eons.
No, but I did hear that Greta Thunberg was inspired by David Hogg. So.
Oh. How dare you?
I thought she started her stuff before Hogg.
Yeah.
Nope.
No?
Nope. Okay. Yeah, well, I think they were in February of 2018, and she was in the fall of 2018.
Well, change is coming, whether you like it or not.
She knew about it, but just the idea of striking, which is actually her friend's idea that she stole. Mm. Friend's the Dunkelman of that group.
She plagiarized somebody from 1993.
Her friend who didn't have millionaire parents, so she couldn't take school off.
Yeah, the friend who wanted education.
Well, Hogg.
She's 16.
Hogg and she remind me of each other because I like both of what they're saying to some degree.
Yeah.
I agree with them, but I hate them.
They're very
I don't
annoying.
Like their messages. And I'm sorry for hating a teenager, but yeah, I mean, they're asshole teenagers.
Most of them.
I mean, play the Hogg thing about the DM. I mean, just how big a dick he is.
Future asshole adults.
When your old ass parents like, I don't know how to send an iMessage, and you're just like, give me the fucking phone, and you take it, and you're like, okay, let me handle it, and you get it done in 1 second.
Yeah, what a dick.
Thank God you're smart.
Pathetic fuckers, give me the fucking phone. Our parents don't know how to use a fucking democracy. What sick fuckers are out there? You want to see more fucking money? What type of shitty person does that? We're not going to let that fucking happen. Fuck you. I don't give a shit what people say about me. Fuck no. I'm fucking 17.
You are failing us.
Has he shown us how to use a democracy yet?
Yeah.
Mm. Has he?
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing got done.
So. Where has he been?
That's about right.
Past, like 5, 6
How
months.
How dare you?
The democracy needs him.
It does.
After all.
People are dying.
Is George calling us? Did I already ask that?
Yes, you did ask.
I did?
And yes, he is supposed to.
Oh, he still is.
Let me go get it back.
Oh, I didn't know Hogg wrote a book.
He did. Oh, yeah. Yeah, with his sister, right?
Can we interview him?
Oh, wow.
We should. Yeah, remember they were going on a book tour. They had all the security.
Comes the youngster on the Hall Financial Hotline. DrewandMike.HallFG.com. If you'd like to refi and save lots of money on your mortgage, as so many people have, and they've gotten the
cool
lower costs, better options, and more personal attention from Hall Financial. And Grogreen MI, Saturday. 10 to 5, the big expo.
You think George had a say in the soundtrack? It's such a good soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked to Boston George's people, and Boston George's people said, please play the Rolling Stones from the beginning of the movie Blow. Is that true, George?
You better play it, buddy.
God, that is a great opening movie.
Yeah.
Was that the song you would have chosen, or would you have chosen another song?
Well, actually, when Ted Demme, the director, told me that his wife was going to do the soundtrack, I was somewhat aghast because I never knew if she ever did a soundtrack in her life. But, you know, she did an excellent soundtrack. But Cher was her best friend in the world, and I think Cher, you know, contributed a lot to it also. But what? I have no complaints about the soundtrack.
What did you rock out to? Because in the movie, they have you quoting Dylan lyrics in that one court scene, but I didn't know if you were a Dylan fan, Beatles, Stones, who, I mean, who knows? Who did you gravitate to while all this craziness was going on, musically?
I listened to Dylan when I was like 16, 17 years old. And I couldn't understand why he knew more than I did, why he was so goddamn intuitive and smart. And the more I listened, I figured out that I'll never get to where he is, but so I'll have to smuggle instead of play the guitar.
Well, I was actually watching a little bit of the movie and reading about you and getting ready and watching a couple interviews and so many questions, and I can tell you've been asked so many of the same ones over and over, but I got stuck in this one point in the interview where you were talking about being an adrenaline junkie. And I couldn't help wondering, as I'm watching you there in your 70s, what does an adrenaline junkie who has probably satisfied most ways that you could satisfy being an adrenaline junkie? I mean, you lived on the edge for a long time. How do you survive as an adrenaline junkie now?
Well, most of my high school buddies, about 75% of them, were completely normal. And you know, someone went to Vietnam, others went off to college and became bankers, doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs. And they're all dead now. And so I think the adrenaline kept me going.
And they're not signing autographs at Grogreen on Saturday either. Does that kind of blow your mind that you're signing autographs for people?
When I first get out, everything blew my mind. The technology, everybody walking around smoking pot, because I was out in California, and, you know, I was smoking a Camel on the beach one day, and everybody was smoking pot in the streets in the beach, and this cop came up to me and said, "What's that?" I said, "A Camel cigarette." He said, "You can't smoke that here."
Times have changed.
It's
got to make you a little bit, well, I don't know, you're probably happy, but in a way kind of mad that it's legal now after that Drew referenced the Dylan lyrics, you know, crossing an imaginary line for a plant and how ludicrous that seems. And now it's pretty legal everywhere. Does that bother you, or are you happy about that?
When I was young, it would have bothered me because I wouldn't have been a drug smuggler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's that simple. But who knows? I might have become the Wolf of Wall Street or a race car driver or something else ridiculous.
Something with adrenaline.
You know, that's my other question. If you met somebody and you could talk, because I watched a documentary on Paul Davis, the actor, who died. He died in 2013 in a car crash. He's a guy from Fast and Furious, right?
Yeah. Paul Walker.
I'm sorry. Paul Davis did a really stupid hit song in the
'70s.
Anyway, Paul Walker. Okay, huge adrenaline junkie, and I just wondered if George Young, Boston George, was talking to an adrenaline junkie who's about 30 years old, what advice would you give him? Because it's obvious, kind of a curse, isn't it, George, in a way?
It is a curse. It's self-destructive, and you're really a man alone in the crowd. But, you know, I believe in destiny, and that was my destiny. I mean, I was an adrenaline junkie even when I was a kid. I mean, and drove my mother crazy, and she was a beautiful Irish girl, and I aged her fast, believe me, as a little boy.
They didn't make her seem too likable in the movie. Did that bother you, or was that accurate?
It was accurate. I mean, not too many people in Abigail Adams Circle in Weymouth, Massachusetts had the FBI knock down their doors, all right?
Yeah. Well, she got you busted in the movie.
I know. she couldn't take it anymore. I mean, the FBI was going to her house every other day, and I found out the guy's name who was going there, and he came out of Boston, the office, and I used to call him up and torment him, tell him, I'm at the bar at the Red Coach Grill, come on down and see me. Hey, he said, you bastard, he said, I hate you. I said, that's okay.
Wow. Well, I have to ask you about Pablo Escobar, because he's a guy, I've read a lot about him. You can't help but be fascinated by him and all the events around him. And I got the impression you kind of shied away from the subject. I watched one interview where you didn't want to answer a question about whether someone was, shall we say, disciplined for snitching when you visited, like the scene in the movie. But what would you say about Pablo Escobar? What was he like? Not, you know, necessarily the horrific things, but just in general.
He was an Indian, indigenous to Colombia, and he, like, 90% of the land is owned by 10% of the population in Colombia, and they're all white Castilian ruling class. And he could never, they wouldn't accept him into that class. And no matter how much money he had, it didn't matter. And he even became a senator down there, and... You know, they used to mock him behind his back, and it drove him crazy. And I told him, I said, just take the billions of dollars you have and get the hell out of here and get on with your life. Get away from these people. They're never going to accept you. But his mother was a school teacher, and she didn't make hardly anything as a school teacher in Medellin. And he used to have to steal hubcaps to feed his family as a kid. And, I mean, he had a good side to him and a dark side, but the business he was in was a dark side. I mean, it's the same. Marijuana business is done with a handshake. Cocaine business is done with a gun. And the more that he was rejected, the more violent he decided to become. And, you know, I mean,
that took down a
blowing
plane.
Up a commercial airliner and killing all those people. I tried to relate to him that it was a business, and that's all it was, and all that violence was just going to cause our downfall.
Bad for business, yeah.
You know, right. George, I'm amazed that you offer the advice, hey, man, you got all this money. Just get out of there and leave it all behind, because that's what I think everyone thinks, you know, because I watched Cocaine Cowboys.
Yeah, I never understand why people can't get out.
Yeah, and guys making, you know, millions of dollars every month, and you're going, well, just quit now and go live it up.
But, like when you had that house that was so full of cash and nowhere else to put it in the movie.
Oh, and all the cars.
Yeah.
You know, you think that somebody would do that, but while you say that's what maybe he should have done, could you have? Did you ever feel you could do that? Just get away from that adrenaline and seek other adrenaline?
You know, it's like a kid who gets too many toys for Christmas every year. You know, and the toys all end up in the closet or attic, or and they become superfluous. And none of that meant a whole lot or anything except in the beginning. It was, you know, it was important he'd have a Porsche or a Ferrari or this or that. And none of it became important. The only thing that became important to me was, you know, beating the government at their own game and running the border.
Wow.
And before I got the judge sentenced me, he said, called me in his chambers, and he said, something's been bothering me for a long time, and I have to ask you. And I said, what is it, Your Honor? And he said, when you were 30 years old, you had $100 million tax-free. Nobody knew who you were. Why didn't you just go away?
And what'd you say?
And?
Well, I told him that I was a thrill junkie.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing about a professional gambler.
Can't stop.
The money is just a tool for him to operate with. He doesn't care about the money. He likes that high sitting at that table. I like the high of stealing airplanes and you know, playing Pretty Boy Floyd the Outlaw. I mean,
how in the movie, we were just talking about this before you called in, when Dooley steals the plane the first time and you guys fly it, and he says, landing's the hard part. how rough of a ride was it? Because they kind of depict the landing, but I have to imagine that the flight had to be way worse than how it was depicted in the movie.
Well, we didn't have instrument rating.
Exactly.
And the old man who taught me, his name was George, too, who lived up in Sonoma Sky Park, and he gave me some quick lessons. And then he told me, he said, I want you to remember one thing, George. You're only as good as sundown. And we were coming up the Baja, and the sun was starting to set. And, you know, one of the few times in my life I asked God, give me a break, will you?
And he's listening.
What about stealing planes? Because, you know, I didn't know you could steal planes. I figured there's got to be some. I figured there's got to be a code, a key, a something you got to have to start the plane. How do you
toggle switch?
Toggle switch.
A toggle switch. That's it.
To start the plane. Yeah.
So I could steal a plane right now.
Have the wherewithal, if you really have, you know, if you're a thrill junkie.
If you're an adrenaline junkie.
So was that why you stole the plane? Because rather than buy a plane or rent a plane, you'd rather steal it?
Well, I mean, the penalty for stealing a plane is next to nothing. If you get caught with a ton of cocaine or a whole plane full of pot, you have a big problem.
I get it.
It's easy to steal a plane as it is a bicycle.
I just need to think more like you, George.
There are thousands upon thousands of planes that, and these grass airstrips, and that no security, nothing. Doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs own them, and you know they're probably glad that they're gone. They're like, you know, the plane's like a toy, and they want to get rid of it eventually. Yeah.
George, are you still smoking weed?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. The weed's too goddamn strong. Right? I smoke Camel's non-filter.
Camel non-filter?
Yeah, you smoke this weed and you can't remember yesterday.
I know where you're coming from. George, what's the worst drug? If somebody said, you know, I've got every drug in the world, I want to try something, what would you say? Don't do that drug. I've seen too many people just go off the deep end or for whatever
heroin.
Reason. Heroin.
Not opioids?
He missed them.
Opioids are the same thing. I mean, fentanyl is, what, 20 times, 30 times stronger than heroin?
Mm-hmm.
And they're cutting it with the cocaine and heroin, too. And that's why everybody's dropping off the planet. I've had a lot of friends that died of heroin. It's a terrible addiction.
It is, and boy, it's a strong one. We were fascinated by Penelope Cruz playing your wife. I just think she's so absolutely gorgeous. Was she too hot to play your wife, Georgia? Was your wife that hot?
I probably would have left my wife for Penelope.
That's a very good way of saying it.
Okay.
Well, and I know you met with, I'm sure Johnny Depp met with you. Well, we know because there's the picture of you two together. How was Johnny, how he goes through to, you know, act and ask questions. How was Johnny Depp and working with him?
His process.
Yes, process. Thank you, Trudy.
Well, the first visit, he came to the prison to see me, and he looked like he slept in a dumpster all night long.
He might have.
And I asked him, I said, what the hell happened to you? And he said, I was up all night in Greenwich Village trying to figure out a present to bring you.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, let me have it. And he handed me a book by Jack Kerouac, On the Road.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, this is my Bible. I carry this with me everywhere I go. He said, I'm giving it to you. Huh. And I had read Kerouac, like, in high school. And I looked at him and I said, I think we're going to be okay, John.
Nice.
You know, you sound very educated, George. I know you you went to a number of colleges, and I don't believe you graduated. But just when I see you talking, you sound like you quote Shakespeare, and I figure a guy who's was dealing as many drugs as you were. I mean, 85% of the cocaine in America at one time was allegedly attributed to to your work.
Wow.
But it sounds like you do some reading and some pretty thoughtful on the side of that.
Well, I grew up without television, you know, in the 50s, I mean, they had television. My father wouldn't get one because he said he didn't want every kid in the house there in the living room. And so we read books. That was it. And, you know, I had some great teachers who were dedicated, and I loved reading, and I loved philosophy and psychology and the great writers of the world. And I mean, that's my second love. Probably if I didn't find smuggling, I would have been a professor of English literature at an all-girls school.
It's very George, specific.
Boston George Young is at Grogreen this Saturday for their expo. 10 to 5 is when the expo is on. Do you know which hours you were there specifically, George? Are you there the whole time?
I'm going to be there from 10 to 5 p.m.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Have a booth there.
That's a long gig.
If you want to come over and see an old outlaw, 77 years old, I'll be able to stand up and take a photo with you.
You know, a lot of people do want to see an old outlaw, 77 years old. And if I wasn't going to the Michigan football game, I would come by myself to get a picture with you. Because I've been so fascinated with that movie and with Escobar and these cartels. And did you follow El Chapo and what was going on, his trial and all that business? And if so, what were your thoughts?
It was kind of ludicrous. For years, he was in all these magazines that, being in nightclubs here, there, everywhere in Mexico. And it was easy for the paparazzi to follow him around and shoot pictures of him. But for some unbeknown reason, he never got arrested. But I mean, it was just kind of ridiculous. And then he meets Sean Penn in the jungle. I mean, what the hell is that?
Yeah, that was very strange.
The end of the road for him.
What about all his escape tunnels and the prison? I mean, it was kind of Escobar-esque, wasn't it?
In a way it was. But what happened with Pablo is that they brought in a hit squad, and they executed, they drew a circle, everybody around him, and they started executing everybody around him. And pretty soon, he was the only one in the circle, and he was alone. No one to call, nowhere to go. And he was on a rooftop. Mm-hmm. And that was the end of the game for Pablo.
Yeah, they zeroed in on that satellite phone he was using. I think he was talking to his son every day, if I remember correctly from the book.
I
know. His son and his wife are been kicked out of Colombia forever, and they can't come to the United States, and they live in Argentina. Mm-hmm. Which he married her when she was like 15 years old. She had nothing to do with all that.
No.
I mean, and to do that to her is you know, evil.
What's the crazy, aside, I guess, from seeing him maybe murder someone, what's the craziest thing you saw with Pablo? I mean, didn't he have a giant zoo at his house? Like, what are some of the crazy things he
Everything
saw?
Was crazy.
Everything?
Yeah, I mean, when he attacked the Supreme Court in Bogota, Colombia, and set the building on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was surrounded by tanks and burned all the paperwork in there and threw people out the window. I mean,
God.
You know, I was in there, but I was at home in Cape Cod watching it on the news, and I, you know, I had second thoughts about ever going back down there again.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, I read his brother, I think it was his brother who was his accountant. Is that correct?
That's true.
Yeah. Did you read his book?
No.
Okay. I read it, and I'm not just saying that to show off that I read a book, but it was a fascinating book, and one of the things that I just was so intrigued by was there was so much cash to deal with that he was buying houses because the houses were so full of cash, they needed a new house, and then they were building liners under the pools to stuff with cash because there was nowhere to put all this cash. Cash was that a big problem for you, George? I assume it was.
Money's a huge amounts of money are a pain in the ass. I mean,
wow.
I had a house on Cape Cod, and my buddy left, and he went somewhere for the day, and I ran out of cigarettes, and I had a whole shitload of cash in that house, and I could have walked to this little store up the corner I didn't want to leave the house because it was full of cash. And I was thinking, I millions of dollars in here, and I can't even get a goddamn cigarette.
George, millions of dollars, really?
Yeah, millions and millions.
Where, oh, my God. I mean,
where did you put it? Can you tell?
A million, where did I put it?
Yeah.
A lot of it, I moved it to Panama, the Bank of Nova Scotia, and Phil Noriega confiscated the banks, but out of Panama, I was moving it to Switzerland.
You know, when they took over the bank and said, "Yeah, your $78 million is gone." I mean, were you inclined to fight that? Hey, wait a second! I put $78 million in the bank. What the fuck? Or was it like, yeah, that was all drug money. I guess I'm never going to win that one.
I had a few tears in my eyes.
Did you fight it though? I mean, was there any way to fight that?
No, because there was all kinds of the cartel money there, and there was the CIA money in there to fight the Contra war. And that's when Bush told Noriega, give the money back and leave the country and it'll all be fine. Hmm. And Noriega was all whacked out on coke, and he told George Bush basically to fuck himself. And then when the Marines landed, he ran to the church and he asked the priest to call a pope and ask him for help. Yeah.
So he was a big coke user.
Yeah, he was.
He was.
He also wasn't the brightest bulb on the tree either.
At the heart of the movie, Blow, and of course, there's like so many things about the movie. I would love to, if we had time, I'd ask you about all of them. But your daughter was the thing that gave the movie some heart. And the fact that you were separated from her by prison and that you had let her down, and that was kind of the one thing you didn't want to do. So naturally, everybody wants to know, you've been out since 2014. I think you had a probation violation, but you've had time to reconnect with your daughter, and how has that worked out?
Horrible.
Terrible?
I mean, she had become just like her mother, and that wasn't a good thing. And she was putting a guilt trip on me for money, and it got to the point where my friends told me that your daughter's playing you. And eventually I just stopped, and ended it, because she was never going to forgive me. I mean, and her mother was still around, and I mean, with her all the time. I couldn't handle any of that. That was like flashbacks from hell.
Go ahead, Mark.
I was just saying, when you were locked up, did Ted Demme, didn't he help look after her or hook her up with a job or any of that?
I asked, he said, what can I do for you? Yeah, he said, I can't get you out. And I said, you could take my daughter into the movie business and teach her. And he said, well, she can't be an actress, he said, but I can teach her to be a director's assistant. And she didn't take the job.
Oh.
And she ended up marrying some miserable son of a bitch, and I, against my best wishes, and what happened is that she had three kids with this guy, and they long since been divorced, and he helped her spend the money that I did give her from the movie and all that, and it was just another nightmare in hell. So. I don't have a lot of time left on the planet, and I can't live in regrets of what was, and I just want to enjoy, the time that's left, and I want to die with a smile on my face.
Are you free?
And being around my ex-wife, never die with a smile on my face.
Are you free and clear now? No probation or anything? Can you travel? Can you do any of that?
I just got off about 5 months ago, and now I'm free and clear, and I can travel and do anything I want to do.
Any thoughts? Are you ever thinking about going back to some of the places, like in Mexico or Medellin or any of those?
Yeah, I'm going to go. I love Mexico. I'm going to go down there for probably in the winter and see some old friends. But Mexico is one of my favorite places on the planet.
Will it be a bummer, though, that you have to fly? You know, like you can't
On a commercial plane.
Yeah, steal a plane.
Yeah, I hate commercial planes.
Buy a ticket.
I bet you do. Is tuna alive?
He's still down in Mexico, isn't he?
No, tuna is up in the woods of western Massachusetts. And tuna's still tuna, but and they had a birthday party for me 2 years ago at Gorman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood, and I was with Tuna. I hadn't seen him in 35 years.
Wow.
And I said, you know what, Tuna? And he said, what? And I said, I got a surprise for you. He said, what is it? I said, I'm going to fly you out, all expenses paid, to a big party at Gorman's Chinese Theater, my birthday party in Hollywood. And he said, I don't think I can go. And I said, why the hell not? He said, because there's a big family reunion up at the lake. And he said, we're going to camp out for a week. And like,
oh,
I mean, that was nothing left to say. Okay, Tuna, adios.
Wow. Sorry to hear that.
Well, that's all right. Tuna doesn't even remember 85% of what happened.
Why do you say that?
Well, he was always on LSD.
Oh. Well, he was a big, I guess he was a big, big guy. And when you said he was alive, I was kind of surprised because there aren't a lot of people that big unless he's lost the weight at that age.
Well, he met this hippie girl and they lived in a commune up there in the woods. And he's been eating rice balls and seaweed for 30 years. You know, God bless him.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Wow. Is Boston George, is there a merchandise available?
Okay, what's happening is I'm going to brand my name and launch a Boston George, okay, brand for marijuana, and hopefully other merchandise will come along with it. And you know, instead of flying across the border and sneaking around in Winnebagos and meeting in dark, shady places, now you can just go into Walmart and buy a joint off me.
How cool is that?
Or at least Third Coast. Third Coast.
Yeah.
I'm with Daryl. Daryl owns Third Coast.
Yeah, I know Daryl.
Third Coast.
Uh-huh. I go way back with Daryl.
Way back, Mark.
Yeah.
Ooh.
High school.
Daryl's a magnificent son of a bitch.
Good dude.
Hopefully, will Daryl be with you on Saturday?
Yes, I will.
He'll be there.
Okay. Well, let's get some people out there, get some pictures with George, get an autograph. I mean, I thought your description was great. If you want to meet an old, what'd you say? An old outlaw. An old outlaw.
Yeah.
Is there a bigger old outlaw who sounds mentally healthier than George Jung? Probably.
No.
Probably not. George, I just want to say I've been very entertained by everything I've read about you. It sounds like a really tricky, difficult life, but the documentation of it I was fascinated by, and it sounds like you're doing well, and I'm glad to hear that.
Okay, and just thank you, everybody in Michigan. You guys have been more than gracious to me everywhere I go. And just remember, the world is an ocean, and every ride is a wave.
Ah, cool.
Nice.
We'll see you Saturday at Grow Green MI.
Okay, take care. I'll be there.
Thanks, George.
Thanks, George.
George.
Daryl.
Thank you, guys.
See you, Daryl.
Yeah, Boston George. On site, signing autographs, take a selfie. 10 to 5 at the Grow Green MI Fall Harvest Expo. Click growgreenmi.com. Of course, out in Whitmore Lake. Wow.
It's amazing. He is like the last one from that movie that is still around. Everybody else is gone. I mean, Tuna, kind of.
Yeah, I guess.
But Derek For Real's dead, which was Pee-wee in the movie.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Diego, I think, is alive.
Yeah, Carlos Slater.
He's in prison, though, isn't he?
He's been in prison since 87.
Yeah. He's not going anywhere.
It sounds like he might be sent to Germany.
What? And why?
Yeah, because he's German. Hispanic, yeah.
I don't know. He really seemed like a bad, bad guy. But he had that Norman's K.
Yeah.
It was his place. He built the airstrip there. Oh, my God. But then he stole. He cut George out.
It's amazing. That stuff will never happen again.
It's one of the best movies.
So hard to do.
We'll play the Cliff Notes after
today's
show.
Such a great movie.
and it got a really bad review on Rotten Tomatoes. It was appalled. It's only like 53%.
You gotta be kidding me.
And listening to George talk, Johnny Depp nailed that. He sounds just like
That's my favorite Johnny Depp movie, I think. I love that one in Fear and Loathing, but I think Blow's my favorite. And probably just because of when it came out.
What about Scissorhands?
Something just fell. Scissorhands is great.
Scissorhands
is good. Scissorhands.
And by the way, Johnny Depp stayed up all night looking for a gift and then gave him a book from the stack that
he'd already read.
Yeah, yeah.
To make himself look deep.
Yeah.
He changed his name to Johnny Deep.
What happened over there? Why did why was there an expletive out of Brandon? What's going on over there?
Oh, something fell off the wall.
The corner sound cubes, they all came tumbling down under the board.
So. Ooh.
What?
Are you okay?
Are we okay?
You're made of foam.
It's going to affect the broadcast?
No, we should be fine. Go ahead. I just got to clean this up.
Okay. Trudy, can you handle a commercial break? It's only two commercials. Dr. Roche and Zot Fort. And, of course, we have our dinner coming up. So.
Oh, boy.
Hopefully everybody's signing up.
How dare you?
Yeah.
I thought George was great.
He was excellent.
I was really excited about that interview.
Yeah. I was excited to reconnect with Daryl. I haven't talked to him in years.
That's hilarious.
I know. I knew he was involved in the industry. I didn't know exactly what he was doing, but yeah. I guess I need to be on Facebook more.
Yeah. And Daryl, is Daryl taking, is he bringing him around?
Uh-huh.
Is he already here?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, how cool is that?
Daryl went to Phil Collins last night.
Oh, we have to talk
Phil
about
on
that.
His feet? Already Phil is back up again?
Phil, I have two emails about the Phil Collins concert that are, I laughed out loud.
Somebody down here earlier was saying that they could not think of a recent concert they would want to go to less than Phil Collins.
Oh, boy.
Well, the account that I have is very funny.
That was after the person read Gary Graff's review.
Oh, Graff's?
Oh, the Graff.
How was Gary's review?
Well, I was just reading it and going, I hate this song. I hate this song. I hate this song. But, Greg, I mean, it was a good review.
Did he play Studio?
Oh, no, he doesn't play that, does he?
I believe it was in the Encore.
But Encore?
Yeah.
Studio?
Is that because everybody's gone by then?
But he was in, this is the sad thing. I didn't realize that Phil Collins is basically dead, and he's,
that's what the email's about. Did Gary reference the...
Yeah, that he walked around with a cane and sat in the chair the whole time. Google the emails.
Yeah, play an instrument.
Was it the CBS Sunday Morning they did a piece on him and how cooked he was?
Yeah.
And showed, you know, that it was all...
People are dying.
Including
damage. From being a drummer, I guess, right?
Yeah. I don't see Ringo sitting in a chair all show. Ringo's 79.
Yeah, I guess. Did Phil have an injury or... Yeah, he has neurological issues, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sympathetic. It's not like I'm saying he's fake.
Here's Graff, and then I'll pull up the set list. So we can see all the terrible stuff.
Fired up to read Gary's review. First, I have to read this email, but Trudy, take it away.
Yeah, okay. So our friends at Studio Sponsors at South Ward and Holly are at it again, being ridiculous.
Oh, my God, no way.
Uh-huh, and bringing ridiculous deals to Drew and Mike fans. I'm excited to tell you that during South Ward's fall clearance event, they have four new trucks and SUV models that you can lease below a Hyundai a month.
Yep. Okay, cool.
That's right.
That's crazy.
A 19 Ford Echo. Is it Echo or it's Echo Sport, right?
Potato, potato.
Echo Sport, Escape, Edge, or F-150.
Biopic.
Uh-huh. All below, right, $100 a month. They're not watered-down rides, man. These bad boys are loaded to bear.
Awesome.
All the creature comforts you're looking for. See details in their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
And great.
There, we should mention that it's the fabulous Drew and Mike Listener Dinner. And three lucky couples get to enjoy a delicious Mexican feast with the
yummy
and Mike podcast crew at Mesa Tacos and Tequila. And this is how you win. You have to go to Zot Ford in Holly and drop your name in the hat. Three lucky people drawn at random. Plus, if you buy or lease a new vehicle from Zot Ford, you get to go in twice.
Nice.
It's like the Hunger Games.
Man, this is going to make a primo dump later on.
So, yeah, be sure to let the hottest sales staff in Oakland County know that you're a listener so that they can double your chances to win. And at Dr. Roche's office, look sexy in your Halloween costume this year with the help of Dr. Roche and all of the incredible specials that they have for October. As a matter of fact, they are featuring all kinds of things to tighten and, you know, sort of... undo what summer did to you because of exposure to the sun. That includes
job summer,
BBL, and that of course takes out sun damage and skin tight, breast tights, neck tight, face tight, all of those things.
Change is coming whether you like it or not.
No, you'll like it. You can also get an autumn augmentation special.
You need to fix
special.
Those changes.
Yeah. Right. And it, like if you have, I don't know, maybe a little bit of sagging in the breasts department.
The science has been crystal clear.
3,500.
Should hire Greta to be his spokeswoman.
She should, I know. She's too indignant, though.
What do you mean?
You are failing us.
Yeah, see? Saline implants, $3,500 in their autumn augmentation special, plus one syringe of Restylane, a second syringe of Restylane free, and buy two areas, get the third area free, Botox, plus BBL, three treatments, corrective three treatments of photorevelation for only $1,000. That's usually $2,325. Oh, very specific. And one treatment of Diva Vaginal Therapy.
Nice.
$1,500, get a free G-spot, which is a $1,200 value. And Zrona. Also, don't forget Zrona. You can lose inches and that nasty, crappy cellulite that you've got on your legs and your butt.
That
take care of that.
One piece of ace.
11 treatments, $353. And I actually used Zrona, and I felt like it did a sweet gig.
Well,
on legs and boot and all of that. So you can go to Dr. Roche, DrRoche.com and check out all of those procedures and also call him for a consultation. His office is 248. What is it again, Drew?
248-338-1110.
Right. Dr. Roche.
Okay. Mr. Phil Collins at Little Caesars. I'm surprised. That's a Little Caesars. I wonder if it's sold out. Did
Probably,
Gary say?
Because he's almost dead.
Okay, let me
find and everybody's like, oh, God, it'll be the last
time. If you want to see him, it's the last time you're going to be able to see him.
My source on this was so funny, I don't know if I want to identify this person because I'm not sure they want to be this publicly funny about it.
Who's that dude?
I went to the Phil Collins show last night at LCA. Oh, my God, Phil looks awful. He doesn't sound very good either. He can barely walk. He hobbles out with a cane. He sits in a chair for the entire show. He cannot play an instrument anymore.
He sings? Just sings, right?
Just sings.
Don't you go dying on me.
Gary said his voice sounded really good, though.
He cannot even sit fully upright in the chair. What he really needed was a lazy boy. He looks like he's about 84, despite the fact that he's 68.
Except if he's in a lazy boy, he'll end up falling asleep to his own songs because they're so boring.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he looked like L. Brooks Patterson just before he died, but with less hair. I added that part. My date compared him to John Dingle, which was also fairly accurate. At times, he reminded me of Lionel Barrymore from It's a Wonderful Life.
I gotta see who wrote this.
Can I see who wrote it?
Yes. Don't bust this person.
I didn't expect that.
This person is in the witness protection program. It seemed difficult for him to sing. His face was often so contorted, like he was really struggling to get the sounds out. I'm curious if Gary Graff was there and what his take on the show was. The staging was really good. The band was tight. To me, it seemed like they had Phil turned down in the mix to hide the fact he didn't sound good.
Ooh.
When he would sing duets, the other people were clearly turned up louder than he was.
Oh, yeah.
It was a, no exaggeration, 10-minute drum solo followed by a probably 5-minute band member intro. Clearly, they were trying to give Phil a break. The guy I went with was a big fan. He enjoyed the show. I thought a lot of it was tough to watch.
And wow. Listen to.
So then I responded.
I have new respect for this person.
This tour.
It's very cutting, but accurate.
This tour has been very mean to him, too. We saw him fall out of the chair the other day.
Yes.
That was not his first fall of this tour.
Come on, Phil.
He
Why are you doing
earlier
this?
Earlier in the summer, and look at his face. This is what happened when he fell in June. He fell out of the chair in June. And busted his face open. He has
Phil, you know, the whole thing with the chair, it looks to me like Phil has lost his ability to understand weight distribution. Because he just, it's like, I guess I put all my weight in the back of the chair. And
the chair.
And then the chair, of course, topples over. Because you can't put all the weight in the back of the chair.
Are you so, saying?
I think this was revealed in Gary's story that he has lost all ability to determine weight distribution.
But he's going to finish this tour against all odds. And I don't want to take a look at him. He looks all beat up.
So I responded to this person and made a few comments. And then this person responded back and said, okay, the part about, because I had said that he was back with his ex, who's 47 years old. And this
Keep
person
nursing
said,
him?
The part about his ex reminds me of something else from the show. When he was singing duets with the various female background singers, at times they were hanging all over him in his chair. It was so creepy to me. It looked like a caretaker who was trying to get freaky with their patient.
Oh, like a Stephen Hawking deal.
Just really bummed me out.
It is kind of a bummer.
Wow.
I just never liked his music. Did you guys like his music?
I like Genesis. I did. Genesis with Peter Gabriel was fabulous.
Yeah.
And at the beginning with Phil Collins, it was okay. Follow You, Follow Me. It's a great song.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good song.
It's all slow.
But it got
I moved in my chair more than Phil did in his.
No doubt. Hawk is absolutely right. Against more odds, the Hawk moved more in his chair than Phil. Against All Odds was an apt opening number for Phil Collins on Tuesday night. The opening song, Against All Odds?
Yeah. Huh? All downhill from there.
Just a few years ago, after all, few would have bet on the former Genesis frontman and multi-platinum solo star and actor even appearing on stage anywhere again. Back in 2011, Collins, racked by neurological issues, retired from performing and from music in general. As he told the packed house at Little Caesars in his first area appearance since Genesis played the Palace in 2007,
wow.
Back operations, shit happens, foot's fucked. But he's gradually made his way back to the stage, starting his Not Dead Yet tour just over 2 years ago. While he had to enter and move around the stage with a cane and sit in a swivel chair for nearly all the two-hour show and not play drums at all, Collins promised that we're going to have some fun tonight. 14-piece band, four backup singers, cheerfully choreographed horns quartet, longtime Genesis and Collins guitarist Daryl Sturmer and Hall of Fame bassist Leland Sklar handed the visual heavy lifting while Collins' 18-year-old son Nicholas nailed his old man's tone and style on drums. You really need the sun? No. The two Collins also combined for one of the night's most touching moments, a rendition of You Know What I Mean with Nick, who chose the song for the show's playing piano while his father sang next to him, ending with a warm hug between the two.
You know what I mean? Sounds like a good time to go to the bathroom.
Most of the elder Collins.
I mean, that would be every song.
Phil did.
Oh, so Gary did say it. Gary points out that Phil was air drumming in his seat. Celebrating multitude of past glory, starting even before the show with a slideshow of vintage photos on a screen covering the stage front against all odds, hanging long enough, took on a bit deeper meaning as testaments to his perseverance, but the tone was overwhelming. Light as he rolled through the likes of Another in Paradise, Don't Lose My Number, I Missed Again, Who Said I Would, Separate Lives, and he joined Nicholas and percussionist for the show to do it. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Men's Arrival, the iconic In the Air Tonight, meanwhile, even brought Collins out of it brought Collins out of his chair!
Whoa! Oh,
really?
To deliver the angsty classic.
Wow.
With Genesis harbored perhaps permanently. Perhaps permanently. Genesis harbored. I like that.
That's great.
Collins assumed the mantle of carrying the group's legacy, performing an upbeat pairing of Throwing It All Away and Follow You, Follow Me. I love that song. Accompanied by a moving video of historic Genesis footage and later a brassy take on Invisible Touch. Latter part of show closing include Collins cover Supremes Can't Hurry Love, Dance Into the Night, Easy Lover, with backup singer singing Phil.
That's my favorite Phil Collins song.
What?
And a joyous, joyous really? Romp through Susudio with confetti and streamers covering the stage.
Well, that sounds like fun.
The Lone Encore, Take Me Home. That's a good song. It was bolstered by a stronger. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The only reason why I love this song, not that, bullshit.
Hey.
It used to be in all these different snowboard videos, and it made no sense, but it worked.
Huh. Okay.
You are failing us.
This song blows.
See, I love it.
Does he expect that he's going to die on this tour so that it'll
bring
the message home?
That would be fitting. He would be happy.
Yes.
He died on stage.
Ooh, that reminds me. Have you watched the Amazing Jonathan documentary yet?
The what?
Amazing Jonathan documentary.
No, yet? You know, I watched the Paul Walker doc last night.
Oh.
I fell asleep at the end. It was pretty good, though.
What is there to know about him that we didn't know?
He's handsome.
You know, it's handsome. Well, not at the end.
I don't really want to recommend it. Unless you're a Paul Walker fan, I guess. Although I was interested. He's an adrenaline junkie. He was an adrenaline junkie.
The other thing on The Amazing Jonathan, because they're talking about he's ill and he could die on stage, and they actually show a clip of another magician who died on stage.
I remember that.
And the crowd loved it because they thought it was another trick. It's kind of like Montecore attacking Roy Horn.
Yeah, they thought that was a trick, too.
Well, I was thinking about that when we were talking to George Jung, because the guy who directed Blow, he died.
Jonathan Demme.
Died doing Blow. Yeah.
He did Blow and said, I'm going to go do this celebrity basketball game.
Yeah.
And then he went, and then played a little bit of basketball and dropped dead on the court during the event.
He was on the heavy side, wasn't he?
God, he was brilliant, though.
Yeah, he was.
Man.
Amen. What other movies did he have?
Wasn't Silence of the Lambs Ted Demme?
Oh, was that Ted
Or was it Jonathan Demme? No, I don't
know.
I can't tell.
Oh, wait a minute. They're two Demmes. That's right.
I think they both deserve credit for all the movies of each.
Let's see. Ted.
Personally.
Well, he also did. I don't know any of these other movies.
Eh, boy.
Ted did.
He produced
The Ref. He did The Ref. With
he produced Rounders.
The Ref. Trudy liked The Ref.
I did like The Ref.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good.
You took some heat for that.
I know, right? And I feel like it's
not
it
as
stands-
much as Multiplicity.
Oh, God.
And both of those stand up today.
Yeah, they've gained in stature.
How did he direct
they
Blow?
Should.
Like, Blow does not fit with any of his other movies because he did Who's the Man?
Who's the Man?
Dr. Dre and Ed Lover. He did Yo MTV Rap stuff.
Random.
Okay.
We called Life, which is, you know, with Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy.
Wait, who's the man?
Yeah.
Who's in Who's the Man again?
Dr. Dre.
Trudy Sound.
It's like the cop movie.
Yeah. It's a comedy. Anyway.
Ice-T is in it. Oh, I love Ice-T.
And another thing I was thinking of before we get off 100% off of Blow and George Jung was you guys were talking about the airplanes. Don't you remember the Barefoot Bandit?
That young
kid who kept stealing airplanes?
He took Rivers' plane.
He sure did.
One of those planes was Bob Rivers' plane?
Yes. The float plane. Yeah.
I had no idea. That kid, by the way, he's out of jail now. He's only 28 years old. But, man, what a weird life that kid had.
What's he doing now? He's obviously an adrenaline junkie.
Yes. He made parole
like
when he
Bebo.
Was in 2016. So 3 years ago when he was 25, he was paroled out. But I don't know what he's doing now.
Piloting planes for Southwest.
Didn't he always used to write, see ya?
Yeah. He would write things. He was always breaking into houses. It was basically, how old was he? Was he?
Oh, boy. I don't know.
I think it was
20s.
From when he was like 16 to 19 years old. All he did was live on the run and live in the wilderness and break into houses and steal airplanes.
Wow.
Hey, since we were on the Blow train, I might as well just drop this in. Did anybody see Todd Phillips talking about?
No, you know, about the Joker?
He did the Joker.
Yeah.
And yesterday, he tweeted something out about how, yeah, I kind of want to drift away from the comedies because it's harder to do them now. And, oh, my God, he took a pummeling.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I saw Patton Oswalt come after him with...
Wait, why did he take a pummeling?
Why would Patton
Stand
Oswald,
down, Patton Oswalt.
Why did he take a pummeling when when Bradley Cooper, who is in one of his comedies, has turned away from comedies and is doing serious
because
movies?
Because things that aren't funny anymore aren't funny to the same people that didn't find them funny then.
What?
Oh, Lord.
In other words... you know, if you have to hurt people to be funny, then that's not their fault that your comedy hurt them. That's your fault because it wasn't funny then and it's not funny now.
No, it is their fault. It's how they perceive it.
So Patton Oswalt took the story and he put it as a link and he retweeted it. And the story headline says that Todd Phillips explains he left comedies because of the woke culture. And Patton Oswalt just said, Fleabag, Broad City, I think you should leave, Big Mouth, Deadpool, South Park, Succession, Righteous Gemstones, Bill Burr, Nikki Glaser, Dave Chappelle. He basically rattled off all these comedies that are still going on.
Patton
saying,
does have a point there. I mean, there is still some good edgy comedy out there.
But some people really are struggling with finding the place or whether or not they want to take. I mean, some of those people take a lot of heat.
Yeah. Yeah. They,
oh,
yeah,
sure.
A lot of
do
those shows
that,
mentioned. You know, he mentioned Dave Chappelle. He mentioned South Park. We've seen the woke culture go after those in the past.
Yeah. Todd Phillips didn't say that, you know, it's impossible to do it. He just said that he, and who knows, maybe this is a great movie. Maybe this is a career move that works out great for him. I didn't see why there was any reason to get so upset. And most of the response was not like Patton Oswalt. It was the opposite. It was that those movies weren't funny then. They were hurtful and... I'd be the same way now.
Yeah, sure.
Or, you know, just because...
you know what? They're movies.
People are holding you to account for your, you know, who you hurt and what your humor does and how inappropriate it is.
Who gets hurt by a movie?
I have no idea. I really don't.
You're in
you
trouble
have
if
to
you
get
hurt
by it.
Movie.
You cannot
see it.
Yeah.
So
you can turn it off.
You know what's idiotic?
I know it exists.
I start thinking about his movies, and I'm thinking, oh, gee, who is hurting his? I mean, what was so horrible in his movies? Which movies are we talking about?
Paging Dr. Faggot line. I don't know if that triggers.
Oh yeah,
people.
Someone mentioned that. That came up really? In a tweet. Oh yeah, I guess Paging Dr. Faggot was real funny.
Still kind of is. In the context of the movie, it's very funny.
I just wish your friends were as mature as you.
They are mature, actually. You just have to get to know them better.
Paging Dr. Faggot!
It's the punchline of their conversation.
Dr. Faggot!
I should go.
That's a good idea, Dr. Faggot.
That's funny.
Whatever. I
loved Old School. That was...
Oh yeah,
Road Trip is
comedy of my youth.
Yeah, he's in Road Trip. He's the one getting that wants to give the foot massage.
Yeah, he's in Old School. He's the one I'm here for the gangbang.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
Oh, it hurts somebody that he wants a gangbang.
Wait, isn't he in the Ben Stiller movie?
I'm here for the gangbang.
He goes on his honeymoon without his, or no, he goes on a trip without his wife.
Mr. What's that movie called?
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
That's a good movie.
That is. Yeah, I like that movie too.
Is that Todd Phillips?
What movie?
It's Cameron Diaz, isn't it? Is his co-star in that?
No, Malin Ackerman.
Oh, Malin Ackerman. Yeah,
that one.
It was a Cameron Diaz knockoff.
That's Dynamite Kid or something.
That's not the one we're thinking of.
The Heartbreak Kid.
Heartbreak Kid, yeah.
It's a great sex scene in that movie with those two.
Todd Phillips did.
Oh.
The car, the driving scenes are great.
So the ones that were big for Todd Phillips were Road Trip. Everybody loves Road Trip. Yeah. Old School, he did Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, I love...
School for Scoundrels, that was good.
He did Borat, School for
Scoundrels. What did you love? What do you think?
Hangovers, Project X, and
Due Date.
All of a sudden, boom, he's switched over to War Dogs, and A Star is Born, and now Joker.
War Dogs is kind of a comedy. That's a good movie.
Is it hot down here?
It's really hot.
Yes, it's very hot.
Fuck.
Really hot.
Zoom, you go
turn
the air.
Trudy had a donut, by the way.
I did.
So did I.
Last time I had donuts, you opened them up. Looked at them and you decided you were satisfied that you saw them.
I took them in with my eyes.
You wanted one, but you opted not to. And I couldn't understand, why did you look at them? What good did that do?
Because sometimes you could look at things and take it in with your eyes and then not have to have it.
Why don't you do what I used to do? Walters and I used to do this. We'd just take a bite of it, chew it up, and then spit it out so you don't get the calories.
Oh. Well, that's pretty.
You should do that riff all the time.
Somebody else.
It's really gross.
Genius.
I mean, that way it's like eating it, but you don't get the calories.
Someone famous does that, and people are really disgusted about being around him. I'm trying to remember who
it was. I don't blame him. It's gross.
But Mike Clark used to get, remember, we got a Whitman sampler or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
and he would take a bite of a piece of candy, and it was not the one he wanted. Obviously, he wouldn't look at the map, the candy map.
That candy map is never
right.
And
then he would just, like, throw it down and picked up another one. This is when I was first realizing, you know, like how he could operate that way sometimes.
I hate those candy maps too because it's like decoding. Because most of the time they all look exactly the same.
Yeah, that's true. But they actually, you know, I love how they're like, well, you can tell by the swirl on the top of the candy.
No, I'm not wasting that much time. I think Clark was right. You just bite it and move on.
Throw it.
If it sucks, be done with it.
And then Trudy judged my donut pick.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because the ones with chocolate on top are always the better.
I chose incorrectly. I chose the crueler.
There were only two choices.
I know, and I chose wrong. According to Judy.
Sugar activates the opiate receptors in your brain. People can't resist it. That's why women eat so much chocolate on their periods.
you guys didn't talk about the end of vaping yesterday, did you?
Not really, no.
Oh.
It ends.
It's over?
It's today. Over as of
it's over today,
today
yeah.
Thursday.
No one's
it's
vaping
over.
Anymore?
Yeah.
And this whole vaping thing is fascinating to me. First of all, I can't understand why was it ever okay for teenagers to vape?
It never was. They weren't supposed to be able to buy it.
But they did, and they got hooked, and then all of a sudden they go, no more vape for you. And it's like, but there's nicotine in vape.
I know, they were never supposed to have it anyway. This is what's kind of a joke. This is when government overreaches and overreacts to something. Instead of, you know, actually enforcing it or making the company stop advertising to children, which they are now.
Well, the
they
suddenness
just ban the whole
of it,
thing.
The suddenness of it too. These people are buying 6 month supplies of vape because it's banned for 6 months. These stores have hundreds of thousands of dollars of inventory on hand.
This is what I don't get. So 480,000 deaths a year are attributed to cigarette smoking. 480,000 a year. We've had six people die of vaping, and we have to stop it.
I think it's like 14 now or something.
They're kind of not connected to each other, though, really, those stories.
Eye drops, Trudy?
What's wrong with your eyeball?
I think there's a contact all, like, wound up
cool.
in my eye.
Oh, it's not contact lens.
So I should put one in my eye?
Yeah.
I put eardrops in my eye once. That's why I'm double-checking. It was very stoned.
I wouldn't
in college.
See it with one eye closed and give you eardrops.
Did it work?
I love your eyes.
No, it did not work. I had to go to the infirmary. My eye was very red. And then determined that the other eye was very red, too. And I was asked, did you put it in that eye, too?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, on the subject of vaping, though, I've been seeing on Twitter that there's some pushback on Governor Whitmer. People saying...
There should be.
People saying, hey, we vape and we vote. And you're in trouble for this. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. She also axed the Pure Michigan campaign.
Good.
And so Tim Allen, what's he going to do?
Yeah, he's going to have
a
job.
Fine. I think he'll be fine.
I hope not so Pure Michigan keeps going, though. Those are pretty good.
Wait, so is that was that a big budget, that Pure Michigan?
No, it was a drop in the bucket.
I think they spent significant money. That was their tourism.
Get money, but as far as the budget, it's dropped. They're not going to stop advertising.
Did they really need to do that? Because Michigan is, people do want to come here.
I think it was a good campaign, but maybe it's run its course.
Exactly.
I know Ohio runs one that's...
Hey, come to Ohio.
We're
fun and flat. And...
It's just so ludicrous and adorable.
Come swim in Lake Erie.
Hey, what's wrong with Lake Erie?
Hey, so what's the Bagel Boss story? Bagel Boss.
Oh, the fight was yesterday.
Show. Yeah, it was supposed to be Bagel Boss against Screech. Screech, of course, had nothing on his mind but just absolutely punching him out and dominating him.
So like the fight.
Ron Palilla.
Fight was set up. It's been highly publicized. First, it was going to be Bagel Boss Boy facing off against Lenny Dykstra. Then Lenny had to back out at the last minute, A, because he would have whooped his ass, and B, because his lawyers told him not to. I'm not sure if Lenny's wrapped up in any kind of legal stuff. So
he is.
They finally get a replacement. It's Screech. So now Dustin Diamond's going to whoop Bagel Boss Bitch's ass. Last night is the event, and he just does not show up. He's a no-call, no-show. Instead, he goes to Twitter and posts this.
I fooled you all. I ain't coming to the fight. After all, what's the best way to really not get hit? Don't be there. And now look at you. You're all sitting there with your thumbs way, way directly up your asses.
Can he be over?
He's over.
I know.
So
oh my God, he's a
and
dick.
Is he sitting in a booster seat while he's driving?
So he'd already been paid. He'd already been paid his money. He did not show up. So the promoter now is livid. He said he's going to sue him.
What did he get paid? How much is he paid?
$100,000.
What?
I saw some.
Show up for $100,000.
I think he's being
paid
sued
already.
I think he's being sued for $100,000. I assume that was the money.
Him out for a quick second. He has a tiny penis. Just for the record,
there had to be some money involved there.
I don't know. This guy's weird. But
he's
so
an asshole.
What they end up doing is everybody's there, and so they need to have a fight. So some dude named Michael Wolf, I've never even heard of him. Apparently he's some wrestler, but I don't know. I've never heard of him.
Okay.
He stepped in to fight Dustin Diamond, and I'm going to play. This might take a long time. I'm going to play the entire fight in its entirety right now for you guys. Ready?
Okay. There's Screech on the right.
Screech is on the right. There's the bell. One punch knockout. Done.
He didn't even land it, though.
Finished.
Okay, how many people are there? Is anyone at the fight?
Well, that was Bagel Boss's gripe. He said, nobody even bought tickets. Only 90 tickets got sold.
His dad went. His dad and his cousin went. He didn't tell them he wasn't showing up. What a dick.
So, this must have been fake or something because Dustin Diamond knocks out Matt Wolf with a one punch. It's the worst one punch ever.
Yeah.
This guy's faking being injured and being knocked out. So anyway, it was a big scam all along. It's done. It's over with. Except now we got legal battles to go through.
I wonder how many tickets that sold.
I don't know.
That's fine. I wonder if that's why Dykstra backed out.
Oh, yeah, because he knew it was.
It was stupid. Why? He's training to beat the crap out of this 5-foot clown, who, by the way, was really not in any shape at all.
You want to step outside? You want to step outside? Huh?
I have a feeling we're going to see Bagel Boss in a fight sometime in the near future, but it won't be like a sanctioned fight. It'll just be something on the internet similar to what he made got famous for.
Someone's
going to beat his ass. Because if you remember, he got his ass kicked in the first video we ever saw of him.
Oh, yeah.
That dude took him down to the ground.
Yeah, I'm kind of inclined to
say. Layla Ali or something like that.
Oh, that'd be great.
Wail on him.
Bagel Boss.
Oh, he'd never fight her. She'd kill her.
Yeah, good. That would be great.
Okay, so moving along, we got Mr. Skin coming up in about half an hour.
So I've been emailing back and forth with Skin yesterday because I wanted to know if he has the Demi Moore Mom High Society picture.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, do you know what I'm talking about? And he said, a young Demi Moore posed nude in We magazine.
Yeah, I knew that.
He said, is that what you guys are talking
about? No, it's her mom.
So I said, no, but I'm intrigued by that one, too. Her mom recreated the scene from Ghost.
Yeah, Demi,
and I said, have
Demi,
you seen that picture?
When Demi Moore first got to California and she didn't get acting jobs right away, although she got General Hospital when she was 19. But before that, to make ends meet, she posed nude for some Japanese magazines, apparently.
So I told him, you know, about the mom and the high society, and he just writes back, show Drew from We Magazine 1981, before Demi was famous. Do you know what the picture looks like?
No.
Oh, you want to come on over?
Yeah, sure.
Fair warning, I about threw up when I saw it. I made Brandon look at it, too.
Yeah.
Trudy, don't look at it.
How can Demi look that bad?
Well, I mean, look at there's her
and
face.
A two.
Very pretty face, nice boobs.
Bush.
Congratulations on having a bush.
What is that?
Wow. Biggest bush possibly ever.
Her butt.
It starts at her belly button and goes down to her butthole.
That's her butthole.
So where's her mom?
He hasn't sent it yet.
Harry.
She could.
Oh.
Harry. Wow. Oh. Oh, my God.
She's got a bush.
Bush.
Isn't that gross?
The biggest bush.
She could grow a pair of pants.
She could grow a
pair. Holy crap.
Good Lord.
That's enough for like 30 merkins. Look at the size of that thing.
What are you bush!
She looks
what is it?
Pretty, but that's shocking.
I tell you, those follicles are
thick, too.
Yeah, they're really
thick. That looks thorny. I mean, I think
does
if you...
Does the
if
carpet
you
match the curtains?
Does it look...
I'm going to like go flying into her nude and your face hit her there.
Oh.
You'd be... You'd have a lot of scratches
up.
On your face.
Yeah.
A lot of scratches. Oh. It's very coarse, extremely coarse,
are you
and dangerous.
It's wiry and unkempt, like Al Gore.
Somewhat, yes.
It looks bad. It's not. That's not a good look.
You know what? I can imagine why she left it that way, though, because that has to be.
Oh, that would take
very
weeks.
Difficult.
Take weeks.
That'd be a lot of work.
To shear that.
Just, this is the part, Trudy, that blows my mind. Like, what? The butthole. That's weird.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah,
that's, yeah. I have a feeling that she's experienced many a dingleberry in her day.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
Okay, juice.
So today,
I'm just saying.
I refuse to be one of those people that follows all the details of the impeachment. Because it's just, oh my God, there's breaking news all day, and it's all like so-and-so says, someone said, or someone did say, or someone did say, but they say they didn't say. And today there was a story about a book on Trump by two New York Times writers.
Yeah.
And in the book, he apparently says that he wants a moat around the border with snakes and alligators.
Yeah, I'm on board now. I want the wall just for the moat.
And they actually took bids on what it
did
would cost.
Did they really?
Supposedly, according to Reddit.
Let's do it.
Well, according to Reddit.
Reddit as a source.
I had to give attribution because then you can make up your own mind.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Is it in the book? I mean, what do they say in this book about it? Did they actually take quotes?
Well, if they took quotes, they're, first of all, what do you have to get a quote from a zoo or from some wildlife person that's going to round up all the alligators and snakes?
That was one of the questions. How do you, you know, procure all of the snakes and the alligators that it would take to stock
the whole southern border?
Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, doesn't that sound a little expensive and probably cause a lot of problems with animal rights people, perhaps?
Why? You're helping them. You're helping the population grow. Maybe we need more alligators and snakes.
Is that a good place for alligators, too? I mean, there would be people who would be like, oh, the snakes.
It's not their habitat. I have no idea.
How hilarious would it be if we actually started building a wall and a moat?
Well, it's not the worst idea if you really want to stop traffic.
It's pretty bad.
I'm a snake.
No, I can't decide is, I think he probably said it. But I'm not sure, is it possible he was joking about it, or did they? If they got estimates, mind will be blown. I mean, to
I
get
like
estimates,
turtles.
Who would give you an estimate on a moat for the southern border with,
is a private
with snakes a big and one. Alligators?
He asked for cost estimates on several ideas. This is just one of them. So,
did they get an estimate? I mean, does it say what it would have cost? It seems like it would be very extravagant.
Can you imagine? Wow. Have to make that phone call. The president wants to build a moat on the border, and all the people would be like, ah!
Yeah. Yeah, but if there's money
involved.
Prank
calling me.
If they can make a lot of money off of it, you know, because you're dredging, you're digging it all up and putting water in there.
Well, it's a lot of contractor work.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, please do it.
And then the other, and he went ballistic. He had a thing with the press and said that he never said it. And he went on quite a rampage about fake news, and that there are some journalists out there, but the Washington Post is not one of those places.
I agree.
What do you call it? Oh, it's a
fake as hell.
It's a lobbying arm for Amazon.
Yeah, okay.
And then Bernie.
Not.
Bernie Sanders got two stints. Is getting two stints in his heart. He had chest pains and. They acted like, yeah, he'll be back in a couple days.
He's okay.
You're right.
He's better than Phil Collins.
Crazy Bernie.
Honestly, I cannot believe the energy Bernie Sanders has. I cannot believe. It's incredible to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I said it the other day. I don't understand any of these people. Pelosi, Trump, Sanders, Biden. It's like, there's no way I would want to do that. Because, first of all, I'm so cynical about politics. I just think it's such BS. And it would drive me crazy if I was 20. It would probably drive me crazy to be involved in it at that level. If I just can't imagine how people at that age have the energy. They must just—it's got to be a megalomania thing. I just can't imagine any other reason you want to run the world, and it's worth it at age 75. It blows my mind. And supposedly, in this story. I don't know what the attribution to it was. I think the Daily Mail had it today, and I don't know if it's other places, that Hillary Clinton wants in.
Ah. Yeah, too late. Go away.
No. No.
Yeah, I keep seeing rumors like that.
No more campaign for you.
I'm bad.
No.
Can they just lock her up so she doesn't run? I mean, is that an
Hello,
option?
Hello, Iowa.
I'm not sure that I don't believe that. I don't know. Is that story all over, Brandon, or is that just... speculating.
Well,
he's trying to get attention for
I believe it's all speculation, but I've seen multiple people speculating that. And I believe that their thinking is that Biden is going to kind of ruin himself based on all these gaffes and that it's going to be left with, you know, Elizabeth Warren and Crazy Bernie, and people aren't going to be so warm to them because of their socialist views, and so that's when Hillary is going to come in and say, "Okay, I'm the Democrat again. Here we go.
No,
let's do this." That's their thought.
Love Trump's hate.
No one is allowed to think that.
Okay, Steve Bannon says Hillary Clinton will run for 2020. I don't know why
he's
would
one
know.
Of the ones that's saying
one of the ones. There's a bunch. It's not like
why
it's
would
a,
he know.
It's not like it's just showing up in a couple places. It's all
Did
over the place.
See that debate last night?
No, shut up.
Go away.
Go away, yes. You and your daughter.
Sounds like we've got some Wayne State Warriors here today.
I believe if she thought she could win, I think she would run.
Oh, I believe that too, because she felt that she was destined to You know, remember
this
her?
Is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
She like made Bill swear, you know, I will stay with you and not ruin the presidency by divorcing you. If
I promise you I won't ruin the presidency.
You get behind me.
Oh, I think Bill would love it because he'd be back in the White House. He'd be I'm pulling the strings, but I'm like the puppet master.
Could she be
messed with the economy, healthcare, everything?
Just think of her in the same office.
Like two presidents in one.
Where he did Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I think she just wants to get in there, sit down in that Oval Office, and you know she wants to have her own adultery right there, just to get back at
it. Oh, gross. She's been waiting. Who's going to be that poor soul?
Waiting 25, 30 years.
Do that.
There was
guy. Well, I mean, what girl is going to do that with her? Right. What if it's Monica again?
Oh. The ultimate revenge.
Oh, Monica.
In the White House. Oh, in the Oval Office. Did it outrage you?
Is today Thursday count day, or was it?
Technically Wednesday.
Okay.
It's count day.
What are they getting? What kind of gifts?
It's bribe kids to go to school, which I don't understand at all.
Not everywhere.
I thought you were supposed to go to school anyway.
Are they getting iPads again?
Well, I didn't see extravagant gifts this time, but what I did see was a partnership with the Detroit Pistons. So,
what a stupid present.
So Hooper was there.
What a stupid present.
And they're giving away basketballs.
What a stupid present.
And then I'm not sure. They probably had summer raffles, though, because in years past we've seen bicycles and different things.
So kids go to school bicycles? To win a prize as opposed to going to school because you're supposed to go to school.
Count day is important to your budget.
It shows how bad that idea is.
The truancy rate in
Detroit should be back in school.
Is incredible. It's like, I forgot the numbers, like 58% miss 6 weeks or more a year.
You know what? Then screw those kids. Focus on the ones that are going.
But why, you know, why is it so hard to move forward? Well, if you don't go to school, you're not going to move forward.
Yeah, so forget those kids and focus on the ones that are there.
I'm just kind of stunned that that many parents would not make their kids go to, I just thought it was sort of a given to go to grade school and high school.
Well, last year they did the protest, right? They wanted to protest count day for something. I can't remember what it was.
I don't remember either.
It looks so cute. Are you ready for school?
Then you've got Greta, who misses every fifth day because she's protesting at the embassy.
Do they do count day where she is?
I should be back in school.
I don't know if they do count day there. That's that terrible racist country, isn't it, where they go after rappers for beating the living bleep out of people?
Goodbye, fucking shit school.
Yeah, truancy. That's just weird. I thought you were supposed to go to school. Anyway, but hey, if you got to give them prizes, why don't you just come up with more prizes so they go every day?
Is it just one day?
Bribe kids to go to school. Pay them to go to school. What? Hey, how's that for a campaign promise? I'm going to pay kids to go to school.
Hey, why not?
Yeah, it is just the one day in October 2nd.
Now, isn't that
accounts for 90% of the budget that the school will receive.
But isn't that
that makes a lot of sense.
Isn't that a failure
right
there?
One day. When you bribe kids, so in other words, game the system and get more money, even though they don't normally show up that often.
Can't they just take 10 random days and average them?
Yes, they could, but they're trying to game the system.
I learned that by going to school.
Wait. Ooh.
Oh, no.
Skills.
And then,
I can't wait till I go to high school.
Yeah, but if they spent money that they would otherwise spend to bribe children to go to school on count day, on an overall like good system where there were flush toilets and intact walls and pens and papers.
I never understood that.
Many backpack initiatives this year. There are like 100 of them now.
Yeah, everybody's giving away free backpacks. And I keep hearing about teachers, oh my God, they spend half their salary paying for school supplies. It's like, what do you mean? We don't pay, I guess nobody pays taxes anymore. Am I the last person paying taxes? Because wouldn't you think there'd be enough money to give kids the supplies they need to go to school. And if their parents can't afford them, you'd think there'd be a little budget set aside, not forcing teachers to buy them shit. I mean, what is that? Every time I read that, I go, what do you mean? What we can't afford police, we can't afford fire, we can't afford schools, we can't afford roads, we can't afford anywhere. I mean, we can't afford roads in Michigan. Yeah. There's no way to fix the roads. Well, I guess Gretchen's going to.
That was another veto she had, I thought, though, was some infrastructure.
She vetoed it. Wasn't enough money.
Because it's about time we fix the damn road.
Is it some money?
Wasn't enough money is what I heard. It would only fix four bridges.
Okay, well, can we start there?
I know.
Seems like they fixed a lot of bridges over the summer, didn't they? Overpasses? Tons of them.
Well, you know, when they talk about fixing the roads, though, the amount of money is like, oh, well, we need like $2.5 billion. So it's hopeless. You'll never find $2.5 billion.
Okay, cool.
And it's like, and there's no money for school supplies for kids. And so, you know, schools and the toilets don't work. And
you're failing us.
They have no air conditioning. And, you know, it's like on and on and on. They don't have any toilet paper at schools. What do you mean? Well, we don't pay. Nobody pays taxes in Michigan, I guess.
I guess.
Hey, just right here, some breaking news from the Red Shovel Network. And shit.
Just got an email from one Mr. Skin with the picture.
Of Virginia Gines, mother of Demi Moore?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay, I'm on my way over.
The subject is...
The ghost picture that honors Demi Moore's role in the ghost movie?
I only saw the first one, and my favorite part of the first one is she's next to a table with a headshot of Demi Moore on it. The table. But she's got huge tubes.
You like what you see, huh?
Nice boobs.
Messy. Messy. Just a disaster down there.
That's a really... Yeah,
but the...
Oh! What is going on here? Hmm. Look at that stupid face, too.
Yeah.
Nice decanter in the background. Ah, there she is.
I think you're really ugly.
Where's the pottery picture? That's the one I got emotional over. She has nice boobs.
That's all he said? There is no pottery picture.
By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
Yeah, she's not very...
What's up with her face?
Unfortunately, she's not very attractive.
Doesn't she... She has that rectangular face, like, Rumor.
Read this quote.
The decision to appear in high society was mine and mine alone. I never felt the need to seek advice from Demi and Bruce any more than Demi ever told me when she was going to take off her clothes for those other magazines. Oh, wow. She's busting her because nobody knew then.
Zing.
You're right, Trudy. Rumor has a weird-shaped face.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we know where she got it from, her grandma.
Looks just like grandma.
You're right. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, boy.
You're the best grandma ever.
Is there any speculation on...
That is
Rumor,
messy.
Is Rumor the daughter that goes around topless all the time, walking around topless? Which
one
of those...
I don't know.
I didn't know that.
If she is, it's not working.
Yeah, they do.
Because no one knows it.
No. They were doing it like a couple of summers ago where it'd just be like, oh, here she is.
Oh, to free the nipple and prove a point?
Yes.
Well, yeah. I guess it worked.
Well, one of them was on Dancing with the Stars.
You are failing us.
One of them was filling in on Catfish. What? Yeah, one of the Demi Moore kids was filling in on Catfish because Max was shooting a movie.
Who would have thought Max was the glue that kept that show together?
I miss Max when he's not there. I do. Detroit also was... There was a story about how Detroit is the number one city in terms of people claiming dead relatives' benefits.
Oh, that story. That was Teresa Baldus' story. That was a great story.
Yeah, one guy, 14 years, $500,000 tax dollars that he has cashed. And he had some ridiculous story as to why
he broke down
doing that.
Crying, claiming the relative was like a father figure to him. Then he came up with a wild cover story. He found his 90-year-old relative dead in the house. But his body disappeared on the same day, either left in a ditch by a cousin or buried in a well behind a farmhouse.
Oh, my God.
Of course, the story didn't check out, and the body still has not been found. Did you see her other examples?
Well, there were 40 cases that they had prosecuted, and they flagged 125 people last year on tax returns accepting benefits from dead relatives, they believe.
A Redford man allegedly paid a homeless woman to pose as his dead mother when investigators came by his house to verify that the mom was still alive, but bedridden.
Yeah, gave away.
David Budd Jr., 52, was indicted in May. He stole $97,000 meant for his late mom.
Yeah, gave away.
Oh, this one's good, too. A St. Clair man pretended to be his dead mother in phone conversations with investigators by raising the pitch of his voice to sound more convincing.
That's brilliant.
So he could continue collecting your Social Security checks. Frank Johnson, 69, pled guilty to stealing $174,000.
Yeah, gave away.
Faces 12 to 18 months. At
12 to 18 months? That's nothing.
Well, I'm sure he has to pay it back, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he will. I'm sure he'll pay it all back.
Here's another whopper. A Ferndale mother who allegedly hid her son's death from the government for
24 years pretending at one point that her child was in Ecuador having surgery, then claiming that he died there. So she went so far to ask the Social Security Administration they would send money to bring his body back to the U.S. when he had been dead for decades. She pled guilty to stealing $292,000.
Oh, my God.
She faces 3 to 4 years in prison. And then finally, Detroit man took on his dead mom's identity for 25 years. Her name, his name was Otis. Her name was Iotis.
Cool.
The name similarities allowed him to sign her name on debit card slips and collect
benefits. That's a great name.
$260,000 in total. He also used her debit card to make ATM purchases and shop at retailers. He's caught on camera and convicted by a jury of theft and lying. At age 80, he was sentenced to 1 year.
1 year.
One year.
80. Wow. He couldn't just get away with it a little more?
I guess not. It's a really wild story, the whole thing.
That's great, though. He doesn't have to go into a home or anything. He's in prison.
Yeah, wonderful.
Somebody's taking care of him.
I love the guy that changed his voice. Oh, yeah, hi. It's my mom.
Oh, wow. Man.
Did you see that Gene Simmons?
Oh, yeah.
It's a good day to be above ground.
His dick problems.
It's a good day to be above ground.
Caused their tour to have to be canceled because he had kidney stones.
Mm-hmm. Gene did?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't wish kidney stones on anyone, but...
I know
Bummer.
It's painful. Yeah, but they put him in Cedar
They've been
Cedar
playing
Sinai.
Everywhere. I cannot believe some of these tours that go on and on and on and on. Kiss, here we are in, you know, blank.
Is he going to sell his kidney stones?
Oh, yeah, I bet
on the market?
Right.
Kiss kidney stones are a value. It's the only place you can get it. I'm the only member of the band that had kidney stones. I'll deliver them personally to your house.
So, Gene, did Peter or Ace ever have kidney stones?
Ace and Peter, for all their abuse of drugs and alcohol, have not had kidney stones that I'm aware of. And if they did, they were too stoned to save them and to bring them to the fans at their home.
Bring them to
only a slight additional upcharge.
The stones are going on tour, but not the stones.
Yeah,
you
the
pay.
Other stones. Yeah. Kidney stones.
I mean, honestly, Kiss is out there. They just. I thought that tour was over. This is the last tour, and I thought it was over like a year ago. And then I see they're here, there, here, there, here, there.
Yeah.
Come on.
Seriously graphic article about what they had to do, you know, like to. They had a stent put in so he could urinate. And I was like, oh, God, that had to be really like. Urinologists, the guys who have to work on down there, can you imagine?
You know, there's erections that men get in the morning just because they have to pee.
I didn't know we had that drop.
Drop. So ridiculous.
I think about that drop almost every morning.
It was the...
I think about it all the time.
The woman whose son did something or another.
Yeah, she's defending her son's boner.
Why did that come up? I just don't remember.
Because I think somebody was asking her about, you know, his boner. It's just morning wood because he had to pee.
You know, there's erections that men get in the morning just because they have to pee.
I love her. I love the way
she says
pee.
She acts like she has inside information.
That's just what her son told her. You know, Mom, some guys get erections in the morning because they have to pee.
I wonder if he dragged out the word pee.
Yeah, apparently he did.
Jeez. Yesterday we had a conversation about supergroups.
Yeah.
So I was looking at Brandon's Prep today, which had the page on supergroups. And by the way, some of these bands that are called supergroups, I'm like, get the hell out of here. That is not a supergroup. Like Led Zeppelin, those guys, Page was the only one that was really known.
And then they also have a lot of times where, you know, a bunch of guys play together for one show, and then they call them an unnamed supergroup. It's like, oh, come on. That was just a collaboration.
Like, didn't bogue. Tommy Lee have a supergroup?
Yeah,
it was the TV show.
Rockstar.
Supernova.
Supernova
was the band with Newstead and Gilby.
Gilby.
Yep.
Gilby. And Navarro.
And the singer.
Wasn't Dave Navarro in it?
Oh. Was he in it?
Well, the singer was whoever they were going to pick.
Oh, that's right. Delana.
Delana.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Or no, what was his name? Luca.
But according to this, they say Steam Packet was the first ever supergroup with Rod Stewart. And a bunch of guys I don't know.
No one knows.
Nobody even knew them.
Followed by Cream.
Yeah.
Cream, I got to say, Cream and Blind Faith, huge supergroups. Because Blind Faith is Cream, except Steve Winwood replaces Jack Bruce. But Steve Winwood by then was huge. Yeah. And Blind Faith, that's a good record. I mean, the one record. Then mm-hmm. Clapton goes on to Derek and the Dominoes with Dwayne Allman and Bobby Whitlock, Carl Radle, and Jim Gordon from Delaney and Bonnie. Delaney and Bonnie were a hot commodity then. In fact, Clapton toured with them, and George Harrison played some shows with them.
Oh, yeah.
Both of them at once.
Cool. Wow, that had to be cool.
You got Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
That's a huge one.
Mm-hmm. Wait, that's considered a super group?
Yeah, because you had a guy from the Byrds, a guy from the Hollies.
Stills came from Buffalo Springfield.
Buffalo Springfield.
Young?
Yeah, Young's from Buffalo Springfield, too.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
They even had, like, John Barbata, who was in there. And he came from...
the Turtles. Yeah. I like Turtles.
I like Turtles.
But Humble Pie?
Humble Pie Frampton and Steve Marriott.
Mm-hmm. Grand Funk Railroad, they say, is...
What?
Well, because Mel was from...
Mel Shocker?
The Mysterians, you know, the 96...
Oh, 96 tears.
And then Mark Farner and Don Brewer were from Terry Knight and the Pack.
Mm-hmm. That's a super group. I mean, the Damn Yankees are more of a super group than that, because you got Ted Nugent, you got a guy from Styx, and a guy from Night Ranger.
But again...
Bad English, with Emerson. John Waite and Neil Sean.
Yeah, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer are considered a super group, though, because aren't they just a standalone group? I thought super groups would just get together to do, like, a couple projects.
Yeah, like the Wilburys?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Special events.
Did ELP come from other big bands? They did, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Greg Lake was in King Crimson.
Forget about The Firm.
Yeah, Pager and Paul Rodgers.
Yeah.
And, well, speaking of Paul Rodgers, Bad Company.
Yeah, which is from Free and...
Mott the Hoople
and King Crimson. Boz Burrell's from King Crimson. Temple and the Dog, Chris Cornell. And there was another guy from Soundgarden with the Pearl Jam guitar players. And Audio Slave, too.
Yes.
Chris Cornell and Tom Morello.
Audio Slave.
How about the Backbeat Band for the movie soundtrack? With Dave Grohl, Dave Perner, Thurston Moore, Mike Mills, and Greg Dulli.
Did they put out an album outside of the movie?
No. But they played together quite a bit.
I want to go see that band.
I know. They had a hellacious version of Helter Skelter with Greg Dulli singing.
Another underrated one is Mad Season. Lane Staley, Mike McCready.
That's right.
It's a great band.
I forgot about them.
Bad English.
What about Power Station with Robert Palmer, Tony Thompson from Chic, and John and Andy Taylor from Duran Duran?
Is Asia a supergroup? Because I was reading about Lou Graham.
Carl Palmer, Steve Howe from Yes.
Yes, Lou Graham has come down with dehydration or something. Why don't you just drink water?
Wait, Lou Graham is dehydrated?
Lou Graham
currently?
He canceled some hookups that he had with Foreigner down the road because of, you know.
He can't drink enough water by the time the show comes up? What? I mean, seriously, doesn't that sound silly?
But yes, it does. That's the part I focus on, not the part that, poor Lou Graham. And then they exposed the bombshell that he was also going to hook up with Asia again. I'm like, Asia?
Ugh.
Really?
Yeah. With a marching song? Dun, dun. You know?
Yeah.
Asia?
How about Foo Fighters? Because they list Foo Fighters as a supergroup because Grohl and Patchmere came from Nirvana and because Taylor Hawkins unknown to a lot of people. He was Alanis Morissette's drummer.
That's not a, I don't know about the supergroup.
No, because it's really Al Dave anyway, when it started. You mentioned...
Is Skin calling us?
I think we're calling him. Do you have his number?
Chickenfoot.
5 o'clock.
Chickenfoot. That's Chicken legit, foot. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Amen.
Chad from the Chili Peppers, Sammy, and who's the third?
Is it the bass player from Van Halen, Michael Anthony?
Ah, that's right.
Oh, another one that I like, A Perfect Circle.
Oh, right.
See, I don't consider that a super group.
Well, Billy Howerdell is the guy who kind of put it all together. He got Maynard James Keenan from Tool. Well, Billy Howerdell was the guitar tech for Tool. But John Freese was also in Nine Inch Nails. James Iha, whatever, from Smashing Pumpkins. And Jordy White was from Marilyn Manson. So, I mean, that's a super group.
That reminds me, someone
super.
Emailed in and said, what about the band Tinted Windows? Have you ever heard of Tinted Windows?
No.
James Iha is in that, and so is Bun E. Carlos, but also Taylor Hanson from the band Hanson.
What?
What?
Wow. I don't know
here's their Wikipedia page. Well, I printed it out for you. Look
did
at
you guys
that.
See Mr. Big yet? Mr. Big.
Big, wait.
Remember Mr. Big?
I want to be with you. Isn't that Mr. Big?
Is it?
Yeah.
Belinda Carlisle.
Do you have a number for Skin, Brandon?
I do. I have a couple numbers, so I don't know which one I'm going
to
call.
Okay. Oh, he sent, and I'll tell you which one to call.
It's not really a super.
I was busy looking up Mr. Big.
That's a not-so-super.
Tinted
super.
Windows.
I'm scared to look at Skin.
American rock supergroup James Iha of Smashing Pumpkins, singer Taylor Hanson of Hanson.
First one. First one.
Okay.
What?
Yeah.
Out of here. Yeah, Adam Schlesinger of Fountains of Wayne. Fountains of Wayne, underrated band. And Ivy. And Bunny. It's ridiculous. It's not a super group.
Ooh. Maybe it rocks.
Nobody from Hanson can make it.
Which guy from Hanson is it?
The lead singer, the keyboard is Taylor, right?
I
don't know which one's
going to
choose.
You rattled that off pretty quick.
Wow, Brandon, I didn't realize you're such a Hanson fan.
I might be wrong.
I kind of like it.
Wow. Sounds like Hole.
Sounds pretty terrible.
Mr. Skin. Mr. Skin.
Hey, it's Skin.
Skin!
What up? Did you get my last email?
Yes. Gross. Wow. But thank you.
What? You know what, though? It did not include the picture of her around the pottery wheel, which was so emotional because she was reliving Demi.
Oh, I have that. Here, I'll send you the whole freaking thing. It was just such a big,
thanks.
She was also.
It was such a big file. Wait, let me see. Oh. It's such an enormous file.
You are failing us.
I'm sorry. I'll send it to you. I have it.
I don't know which one.
I didn't know you guys wanted every angle of Demi Moore's mom.
You guys, Drew does.
No, that's the shot.
Done.
That's the one she complained about. Didn't we interview her?
Yes, you and Mike interviewed her.
And she said, I didn't know the camera was going to shoot down there. Because her legs are spread. She's nude at the pottery wheel, and her legs are spread. It's a pretty invasive shot. And she,
yeah, I thought I sent you one, but I'm looking at them now as I speak to you guys, and yeah, I see what you're talking about. Okay. I just was like trying to cherry pick the ones I thought you'd want to see. I have the one where she imitated the pregnant pose, you know? Do you know that one? Yeah.
I think
in the Vanity Fair layout. Yeah,
she did the Vanity Fair bodysuit one, and then in the inlay there's a picture
of her
reading the Vanity Fair.
So in the pottery one you speak of, she's like making pottery and it's all wet and weird, and then she has white white see-through panties and she's smearing like
I didn't know they were gonna shoot down there.
You know what else made me throw up Skin was the Demi Moore picture you sent from We Magazine.
Oh. No, that's like how all women should look in my opinion.
Oh, what?
Yeah. No, I sent him, that was from January 1981, We Magazine, a young Demi Moore before anyone knew her, posed, and it was like one of those old hustler poses, like from the 70s where you show serious vagina.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like the hairiest bush I've ever seen in my life.
I thought some guy with an afro was going down on her. I didn't
Skin,
know what was going on there.
I have to challenge you, a bigger bush than the chick with Marlon Brando in... The parrot. What's the parrot?
That's Tango
in
Paris.
Tango in Paris. Yeah,
Maria Schneider.
That's a massive bush.
Ugh. Yes, it is. That had more distance.
Yes, it had more. You know? It had more spread too. It had wings.
No,
it had longer
Demi's
wings.
Demi's is darker.
It
and
wraps
just
around
goes all over her legs.
It wraps around
Maria Schneider in Last Tango in Paris. You could see her bush from profile. That's impressive.
Oh. Yeah.
It was a really big slice of pizza.
Oh,
really
my God.
Big.
God, that's an old Mike Clark thing. Yeah.
Now, you don't have these pictures on the site though, do you? Because they're not in a movie.
Right. No, I had to get them. I called on my good buddy Celebrity Sleuth. Do you remember that magazine?
Yeah.
From the 80s and 90s. So I'm good friends with him, and whenever I need something super rare like that, I was looking through my internal, I have my private collection, which is stuff that I wouldn't put up on the website, and I was looking through it, and I didn't have those pics, so I hit him up today, and I said, my boys, these guys in Detroit, I'm coming on their show. Do you have those pics? Because I want to share them with them, and he sent them to me. So that's from That all was in Celebrity Sleuth magazine in the 90s.
Because it's really interesting.
The Great Sleuth.
You've always been very, you know, you've been a stickler. It's got to be movies or television to be on MrSkin.com.
Yeah, there's legal reasons for that, and also just, as you guys know, when you run a website. But yeah, stuff for movies and television is what I focus on, and that's what I, from the beginning. And there were other places where you could find that type of content, but I chose not to do that from the start, which was a smart move.
But now this new list, the 20 most iconic moments in celebrity nudity, kind of goes outside of that, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Because,
that's cool.
Yeah. So that's what, you know, I was here to talk about today is, as you guys know, I'm in my 20th anniversary year, and we had been thinking about how to, you know, celebrate it because what we could put at the website. And instead of doing, I've done before my 150 greatest nude scenes, my 10 best nudes. I've done all that before. And we really got into this thing about the 20 most iconic moments in celeb nudity. And I really love this list, and it's a lot of fun. And what this is about are, what were the moments in celebrity nudity that had huge cultural impact? Not only do we remember all of these, but it changed things in a certain way, and it... and obviously the content is still great. There's star power in this. But these are nude scenes that, like I said, just changed the culture when they came out. And it was fun to put this together. And by the way, this list, as usual, is completely free at the front page of MrSkin.com. Uh-huh. I even have you guys, you guys are always nice enough to allow me, but I should say I got a big sponsor for this too, Adult Time, which is like the Netflix of porn. So I'll
wait,
probably
what
be
is
hooking
this?
You
what
guys.
Is this company?
I'll be hooking,
I've never heard of this
I'll be
company.
Hooking you guys up with a free password.
Please.
But,
thank you.
Yeah. So anyway, it's really it's
what
a
is
fun
Adult
list.
Time? All, what's Adult Time all about?
It's like imagine Netflix, but for porn. But they also do original programming too. Oh. So not only can you see great porn movies,
well, that's
you
nice.
Pay a monthly fee. And you could see original programming. You could see great porn movies, and it's all complete with no commercial interruptions, like you see online. And it's really good. They're a very successful company, and I'm very happy for them to be a sponsor of what I'm doing at Mr. Skin.
Sweet. There's quite a presentation for this top 20, by the way.
Didn't my guys do a good job?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Yes, they did. Yeah. And I've never noticed a comment section on any of your lists.
Oh, just. It's a little notice for anyone out, any of you youngsters out there thinking of starting a website. Just remember that when you have a comment section, you will get a bunch of assholes. It's almost like only assholes write in the comment section.
Yeah,
I've noticed that.
Here's one example. Sharon Stone is to be number one. Nothing comes close to it. It's the most iconic raunchy scenes in movie history that everyone talked about back in the day. Sex tapes don't count. Shouldn't be on the list.
Yeah, I mean, who has the time to
Shane
to
McGrath does.
Yeah, like, this is your job. You decide, not them. That's why we have you.
But and to be honest, I truly could care less. I think it's funny.
It's
but
hilarious.
Like, yeah, we did, as for instance, on our top 20 list, Sharon Stone's leg cross scene in Basic Instinct is number 3. And,
that's
geez,
huge.
I mean, think of, yeah, listen, I read once where this was the most paused movie moment in history of movies. Do you guys remember being in the 90s before, like, we had access to, like, DVDs and all that other stuff where you would rent this, if you're as pervy as me, and you rented this movie and you're watching it, when this scene would happen at the 27-minute mark, the videotape from Blockbuster would be all, like, squiggly, and you know, because so many guys that have paused it on that spot. And listen, this Paul Verhoeven movie, it was to see an A-list actress do show this part of her body was just unprecedented. It and people ask me what's my favorite nude scene of all time. I've told you guys many times it's Phoebe Cates in Fast Times, which came in at number 6. But I'll
argue you're in love with that scene.
Well, I am, but I'll argue that the Sharon Stone leg cross scene is the most famous nude scene in the history of movies. How many times has it been parodied? Yeah. I mean, and how many people have seen it? It's really incredible.
No, I have to agree with you. Dimitri, by the way, I noticed in the comments section said, what a shitty list!
Yeah, Dimitri.
Jeez, yeah. Dimitri.
Yeah. Dimitri has a lot of anger issues. So.
I know, it's funny.
Well, how about
so
Jason on here? Get guys off that list! And then there's a reply to that.
And
that
the funny thing is, this is very subjective, too. It's like, we're trying, and we give, like, reasons. If you click on any of these, like, we give you the reasons that made the list, and we even rated, like, what the star power, the cultural impact, the scene quality was. And, you know, we try to, like, explain it. We do all this stuff, and yet all these guys will bitch, which is fine, but no one gives, like, their top 20 list and why their should, you know, but that's fine. It's
well,
just the way it goes.
Eric, when he said, get guys off the list, Eric responded and said, I agree, Jason. If a dick is part of a sex scene involving hot tits or ass, I'm all for it. But this is not a gay site, so Brokeback Mountain needs to be left off unless you count the sexy
boy.
Michelle Williams nude appearance in that movie.
Jeez, that guy's clearly gay, by the way, Eric, if he wrote that.
Oh, he wrote again later.
I mean, think about it. Listen, do I want to sit here and talk to you guys about number 15, the Brokeback Mountain scene? But quite frankly, it won three Oscars and grossed $200 million, and it was like one of the first movies to really seriously look at, you know, gay men and show that in a movie. And that's, there's a reason that's on the list. I mean, it's not my cup of tea, but that's okay.
I just saw them jumping off a cliff nude together.
Yeah, how about Heath Ledger when he goes,
yeah.
And keep in mind,
Ledger.
It didn't harm Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger. Another reason this was important is, could you imagine in the 50s or 60s being in a movie like this? It would destroy your career. Think about Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal. I mean,
this
only boosted their career.
Wait, what
right?
was that scene I was just watching, Mark, number 13?
Porky's. That's a great... wow. Man, that was a big one from my youth. Like, yeah. It's like, you wouldn't believe
well,
this.
Well, Porky's, there's a reason. Porky's is number 13 on my most iconic nude moments in celeb nude history. And you got to remember this. What's important about Porky's, and people forget this, two things. Number one, it is the first true teen sex. It started the teen sex comedy craze of the 1980s. It came out in 1982, and all those other great teen sex comedies like Fast Times and My Tutor and Last American Virgin and Screwballs and all that stuff
came out
because of Porky's. Porky spent 8 weekends as number one at the box office, and you forget about, like, imagine a scene, and then it has the famous scene which we quote, is there's so much wool you could knit a sweater when the boys are spying in that shower scene. But Porky's was very important movie because it showed that, when a genre, a new type of movie comes out and it kicks ass and makes a ton of money, what happens? There's a bunch of copycats and sequels and things like that. So Porky's was like huge to the teen sex comedy world. And,
I gotta believe, Skin, that may have never been said before. Porky's is a very important film. Just that part of your quote.
It is.
I love Porky's.
The director of Porky's was Bob. His name is Bob Clark, right? And you know what the next movie he directed?
Screwballs.
A Christmas Story. Ralphie's Red Ryder BB gun. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Great director.
Skin, this list is so deep. I've never heard you get so deep on this subject.
Maybe that's why Dimitri didn't like it.
Could be.
I just saw Brandon downvote his comment.
I'm very passionate about this list, and I love... Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying we should go through the rest of them then.
Well, let's go through some of the key parts. We don't need to give it all away.
Cherry pick whatever you want, and I'll talk about it. I know Drew probably wants to look at number 8 a little closer
Should we go in order or
number 8? Number 8 for me. That one, that's a crazy one because that's where there's actual sexual contact in a motion picture, not a porno, but a motion picture.
Yeah, it's Chloe Sevigny in Brown Bunny from 2004, and this was significant because she was an Oscar nominee
Was she in a relationship? She's giving the other actor a BJ.
Yeah, Vincent Gallo.
Yeah, it was this played at the Cannes Film Festival. She's giving Vincent Gallo a Hummer in a mainstream film. And she had been nominated for Boys Don't Cry for Best Supporting Actress. So no one had ever done this that was an Oscar-nominated actress. And nowadays, we see more of this with movies like Nymphomaniac and Nine Songs that, have real sex in them. But when this happened, this was groundbreaking.
Was she married?
I don't know. That I don't know.
I'd be kind of bummed if I was her boyfriend.
What's her job, Drew?
What if that guy just blew up right? It was just like immediately.
They'd have to take some time for the next take. How many takes was that scene?
Yeah, I remember Roger Ebert hated this movie, and not because he's a prude, just because it really is a hard movie to watch.
Yeah, it's boring. It's a boring
movie.
Yeah,
it's very boring.
Can you tell
everyone wanted to watch this scene.
Skin, can you tell us why this is... why was it necessary that this really be shown, or that she do this as an actress? Why was this not gratuitous?
Oh, it's completely gratuitous. And guess what?
The character
was. Here's how you got to look at it. 15 years later, would anyone ever mention Brown Bunny?
No.
It wasn't for this scene.
It wasn't. True. This is the funny part. Wasn't he the director of the movie too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wrote and directed it.
Yeah. Wow. So the actors have to do what you say if you're the director, no matter what.
I think he wrote the movie so he could get a blowjob from her.
Wow. That's going to a lot of trouble to get a BJ. I got to say.
Yeah. And plus, who wants to have that done with a camera guy there? It caused a lot of nervousness.
Gallo's a weird dude, though.
He is.
Oh, yeah, he's super weird. Super weird.
I noticed Jane Mansfield, who I'd never seen.
I'd never seen
that.
Oh, you never have?
No.
Oh, please come. Yeah, please come to the MrSkin.com. That came in at number 14 on the list. And a couple things. Why this was so important is back, well, we all know about how you've probably heard about the Hays Commission in the early 30s. What people don't realize is that there was a time in the 1920s where they were starting to have celebrities of the day, Clara Bow, for instance, in Wings, which won Best Picture in 1927. That movie had nudity. Clara Bow was topless. Then in 1932, there was a movie called Ecstasy, in which Hedy Lamarr was nude. This was going on. We were on the path to a great society. And then the Hays Commission came in 1934. And if you think about it, from 1934 to the early 1960s, American films had zero nude scenes. It was illegal, pretty much, to have nudity in a movie. Well, Marilyn Monroe was going to do a movie called Something's Gotta Give, where she was finally going to do a nude scene. She ended up getting kicked off the picture, and it was never released. But the girl that was like the Marilyn Monroe, like the poor man's Marilyn Monroe, Jane Mansfield, who was in competition with Marilyn Monroe, decided, well, geez, if Marilyn Monroe's going to do a nude scene, I will. And she did this movie in 1963 called Promises, Promises. And it's the first celebrity nude scene since the Hays Commission. And it is spectacular.
It's a really good one.
By the way, what a body on her.
Yeah,
what a body.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope I'm not too long-winded on this, but I'm very passionate about my Jane Mansfield nudity.
No, all of us, we've discussed the Hays Commission many times in the show.
number That's 11 so has the NYPD finable scene, which I vaguely remember this, but they actually, ABC got fined, right?
Oh, yeah, and it kind of ties into my number one, too, but number 11, and
is that Sharon Lawrence?
Here, no, it's Charlotte Ross. Charlotte Ross.
Okay.
So, in 1993, on ABC television, ABC, NYPD Blue aired this scene. It was February of 2003, which featured Charlotte Ross completely naked at Sipowicz's apartment. She strips down. If you see this scene, if you don't know about it, you would think you're seeing an R-rated scene from an R-rated movie or something you would see on HBO, for instance. This actually aired on ABC.
That's
this is
crazy.
Where we were going.
Yeah.
And then my number one happened. My number one cultural iconic moment in celeb nudity happened and made this done. And it also affected, you know, you guys on the radio. You remember.
Yes.
Yes.
I know.
You remember.
You can't even see anything, really, except, you know, I mean, her nipples covered.
Yeah. Janet. So basically, going ahead is my number one on this list of most iconic movie moments, and which affected the Charlotte Ross and Drew and Mike and all the radio guys around the country, was Janet Jackson slipped the nip during the Super Bowl. It was Super Bowl 38. It happened in February of 2004. Yes. And you got to remember that this happened before, like, YouTube or Facebook or Twitter. Very very few people had DVRs, right, where you could rewind this. So this happens. Everyone's shocked. No one could believe it. They don't even know if they, did I just see what I think I saw?
The next they were drunk. Day,
yeah, and they were drunk. The next day, I actually had the best day in the history of MrSpin.com because they didn't have, like, you couldn't go to YouTube or Facebook or Twitter to see this. So there was people like, oh, yeah, there's that guy that has that celebrity nudity website. I'm going to go there. And it was the biggest day we ever had. But the flip side of that was for guys like you, remember that just you had to be super careful of what you said on the radio. I know, yeah. I got kicked off a ton of shows that they just said, we can't even risk having you on because we might say something that's going to get an FCC fine.
No, it was complete madness. It's like, why is morning radio all of a sudden the bad guy when this happened on during the Super Bowl? It was ludicrous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is, and it on so many levels. But, it's that thing where this thing happened during the Super Bowl, and it just caused a chilling effect across all kinds of media, even radio, which was the weirdest thing. But what did radio guys have to do with it?
You know? I know. Exactly.
And it was really weird. But, yeah, and that's why it's number one. Like, this had such an impact on so many things, and it happened, in the biggest platform of all, the Super Bowl.
Mr. Skin, did it sort of force your numbers up when Justin Timberlake did the Super Bowl a couple of years ago and everybody wanted to re-watch it? Or was it just
no,
out on
that? That helped MrMan.com.
You know, I just watched the clip, Skin, and they both look so ridiculous after it happens. Because didn't they act like, oh, it was an accident?
So worth it.
Oh, no, I think, yeah, he actually coined the phrase, and I hate the phrase, wardrobe malfunction, because he had a written apology after the incident. He called it a wardrobe malfunction, and that's become, now in our lexicon. But it wasn't a wardrobe malfunction. He ripped this was a planned thing.
Of course.
That's why she had that stupid thing on her nipple.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had that. But you could still see, still see that.
Why would you even do that? And in the context of now, doesn't it kind of look, like
stupid?
An attack of...
The lyric is, I'm going to have you naked by the end of the song, I suppose.
Oh, is that it? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Ooh.
I didn't know what this stupid lyric was.
She's not naked.
Skin, why is number five what number five is? I'm shocked to see that was that high.
Well, it's... Okay, because number five is Game of Thrones legitimizes copious amounts of nudity. And when Game of Thrones, listen, I've talked to people. When I launched Mr. Skin in 99, there were 19 shows that had nude scenes in 99. Today there's, I think the last I checked, was something like 157 shows across all these different platforms that have nudity. Well, what Game of Thrones did was it legitimized, and it's really upped over the last 5 to 7 years since Game of Thrones came, because you could win Emmys, you could get huge audiences, and you could have tons of nudity, and it'd be a legitimate, fantastic show that will attract tons of people. And Game of Thrones was, you could argue that The Sopranos did, but The Sopranos was more about violence than nudity.
Mm-hmm.
Game of Thrones was about sex and nudity more than anything, in my opinion. And it legitimized it, and it's changed the landscape to where everyone's doing it, which is great by us. I still contend we're in the golden age of celebrity nudity because of television.
What's the top 20? What's the one that people would not have seen more than likely?
Definitely the Jane Mansfield would have to be in there. That's a good question. And I hate to keep, stuff we've already talked about, the Chloe Sevigny. I don't know how many people.
I hadn't seen that. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I think one might be, probably a lot of people would know it, but when Marilyn Monroe posed for Playboy and then Hef, put that, or she didn't pose for Playboy, she posed for, in 1949, she posed for nude modeling, and then in 1953, Hef grabbed it for $500 and put it on the cover of the first Playboy, or inside the first Playboy. Mm. That's probably one that a lot of people maybe don't know about. I mean, they might know about it, but haven't maybe seen it. So.
Yeah.
But the rest of this, I got to be honest, I guess maybe you could argue the Crying Game, twist in the Crying Game is something people might not remember, but anyway, that's on there.
You know what's funny about that clip is the guy's pants come off, and the guy, they're like face to face, and he goes down on his knees like he doesn't realize there's a penis there yet.
I remember Clark talking about it.
Yeah, there's some artistic license there from Neil Jordan, yeah, the writer director from that. But you know, nowadays with transgender and everything else, it's pretty common. But you gotta remember back in the 90s how shocking this was.
Oh, it was. I went to the movie and I didn't know what the twist was. And I was like, what?
But that's the other thing. A twist would have been spoiled. You know, a lot of people wouldn't. Today, you don't have to go to a movie to find out what the twist is because of the internet.
Yeah, right.
But you had to go to the movie, right, Drew.
Yeah, and we are talking about number 19.
I'm surprised you went back so many times to watch it again. But
yeah, number 19, of course, we're talking about The Crying Game, the big reveal. The big reveal with Jay Davidson, Jay was not a female Jay, it was a male Jay.
Now, it was nice to see Paul Verhoeven got two movies on this list, because you mentioned Basic Instinct. The other one, I'm surprised it was as low as it was at number 12, is Showgirls.
Well, you could argue, yeah, we have it at number 12, and listen, this was big because how it used NC-17, and they were like, screw it, we don't want to be rated R. We want NC-17, mm-hmm, and I still contend for what I do for a living, this is the greatest movie ever made, but, I mean...
it's really fun to watch. It's
campy,
crazy.
It's campy and crazy, and again, Elizabeth Berkley was on Saved by the Bell, and then pretty much the next thing she did is this, and if you go back and watch her lap dance scene or her skinny dip scene, it's ridiculous. I mean,
it's horrible! I feel like I would get injured if I was mixed up with her.
Right. Yeah, there's some amazing, and not to mention,
well, she karate fights someone topless too in the movie, doesn't she?
Well, and I hate to say it, but I don't hate to say it, but there was a version of that which you could check out at MrSkin.com. In the karate chop, she goes for a leg kick wearing a skirt with no underwear. On every version except one, where it's a different framing aspect ratio. You see full vagina on the kick. We have it at our website.
What are some movies that didn't make the list? Because I'm just trying to think of some. I remember Bound.
Honorable mention.
I remember Bound being very kind of cultural because there's a fisting scene in a mainstream movie.
Wild Things, The Three Ways.
Oh, yeah.
Bound is another one that didn't make the list. And listen, there was the hard part with this stuff is eventually you got to narrow it down to 20, and there's arguments for a lot of different movies, obviously, and television shows, but, you know, in the end, I'm like, okay, this is the top 20, we're done.
The list is on MrSkin.com, the top 20 iconic celebrity nudity scenes, and we've gone through a bunch, but let's leave a few for people's imagination to go to MrSkin.com.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, and you guys, I was psyched that, like, maybe with you knew most of these. Like, you knew them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm also glad I turned down into some new stuff. Like, that Jane Mansfield, if you go back and watch it, it's such a treat. And even the Chloe Sevigny, it's kind of good to reminisce, and you might have forgot about that.
Wow, that was something, especially looped over. It was on our screen for about 10 minutes. Looping.
Skin, whenever we have you on, I always like asking you, like, what are the big new things that people are trying to search? I'm imagining, like, Phoebe Waller-Bridge after Fleabag 1. Do people look her up, or who's the big women that people are looking up?
Yeah, it's usually kind of the same as if you went to Google, like, who are the hottest actresses right now. You know who's gotten really popular in the last couple of weeks is Kirsten Dunst.
Oh, because of the Florida?
Yeah, she has a new show on Showtime, which...
it's a good show. She's not the old Kirsten Dunst in it. She's
I'm Becoming a God in Central Florida, and she hasn't done a nude scene on there yet, but she looks great, and obviously you can see her nude. She did a movie called Melancholia from 2011.
I remember that one.
But she's, believe it or not, of over 30,000 actresses at our website, currently number one. And,
Skin, great stuff, and always great to connect. And who are the Cubs going to hire?
I think Joe Girardi, but a lot of people think David Ross. So we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Are you surprised that they let Madden go?
I think they had to do something, and they weren't going to fire Theo, so
Yeah, I did. I just couldn't understand it. He won a World Series. They hadn't won a World Series in forever. Why would 2 years later, just because they didn't make the playoffs with a very flawed team, I thought, I couldn't see why.
Won, like 90 some games.
No. Yeah. And what about, because I always count on you for when there's rumors in Chicago, what about Roquan Smith? What? Where? Why is he?
I really don't. I really truly don't know what the hell's going on because I, you guys know just as much as me.
Okay. They've been real tight-lipped. And you had a nice picture of Bo on his birthday, your son.
Oh, thank you. Yes, today is my son's 14th birthday. So
and how tall is he now? He looks as tall as you.
Well, he just turned 14 today. He's 5'10 and a half, 160.
Wow. Yeah,
good for sports, as you know.
He can hit line drives, no doubt. We're looking forward to seeing him where he goes with this all. And, Skin, thanks so much for everything.
Yeah, Mr. thanks, Skin. Guys. It's always a riot. I appreciate it.
Okay, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Skin.
You got it. Take
MrSkin.com.
Wow, great list.
That's a great list. It is. The clips are good. They're not that long.
It's free. You don't have to sign up yet. The comments below are fantastic.
Yeah, comments are hilarious.
So funny.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
The sentencing for the ex-cop in Dallas.
Yes.
Amber Geiger's in. How much do you think she got?
5 years.
I always said 15. Therese says 5.
I was going to guess 5 to 10.
Minimum.
I'm going to guess.
They had to make it first.
Drew's going to win because I know what he's going to
guess.
I think they're going to say, I was going to say 15.
10.
She got 10?
10 years, yeah.
Which means she'll probably be out in good behavior in 5.
Could. Seems yeah. appropriate, though.
It's very possible. Yeah. She had to go to jail.
Yeah.
I know, that was a weird case. Yeah. You know, I watch so much true crime and I see so many cases where, you know, for example, it's a horrible, you know, a couple maybe and someone kills the other one, usually the guy. And
you know, always.
And the family says, "Hey, you know, we forgive him because we don't want to carry this hatred around and we're upset." And it's you know, the verdict comes in and actually everyone kind of cries because it just, the whole thing has come to an end. And this one, when they found her guilty, the people were cheering in the courtroom like,
yeah, and, what is and that? What is that?
I thought
do?
It was odd because symbolic. It was right, obviously a I mistake. Guess, but... I don't really believe she ever went got out of her car to go into her apartment with the thought that I want to kill someone. I just don't believe that. I don't believe in a million years. And as far as, you know, manslaughter cases, it was just complete negligence, in my opinion. Maybe it's more than that. I don't know. I didn't see the trial, so I hate to say that I know something I don't know. But I just thought that it was weird because that's the kind of case where I would think even the victim's family would be like, wow, there's just no winners here.
Yeah,
and I would want her to be punished, absolutely. But I don't know if I'd be. It just seemed like that was
it's
really
a weird thing to
wanted
celebrate.
To nail her, yeah. And they did nail her. Murder.
Yep.
Well, light, very light.
Murder light.
Murder light.
Diet murder.
10 years is a short sentence,
with
but
good
honestly,
behavior, yeah,
it seems about there, seems appropriate.
There are
know.
A lot of murders I've seen that are way worse than this, where people get 10 years, 12 years. I mean, where they really wanted to kill someone. So, I don't know. We don't always understand what happens in courts.
I don't understand the entire, and I heard you saying yesterday that you wondered what else there was to the story
yeah,
that maybe we don't know.
That's kind of what I feel like I'm missing something.
Because the idea that she walks in and is maybe confused about walking in and thinks it's her own place, but the guy wasn't charging her.
I know.
It sounded like he was having a great time.
I would have thought she would have left the room, actually.
And she's, yeah. You know, she's like, you know, let me see your hands. And he's holding a bowl of ice cream. It's probably like, what the fuck is happening?
But I know.
In his own house.
If she had not had a gun on her.
But then just to draw down and shoot him?
I know.
Jeez.
Now that's why she's getting 10 years.
We see a lot of cases like
Girl?
That. You know, it's like the guy, you know, who thought he was standing his ground in Florida and shot that guy that pushed him over. Or, you know, George Zimmerman. I hate him talking about this guy. Such a jackass.
Hey, Zimmerman popping back up in the news for something stupid any day?
Yeah, and he always does. And I was amazed how much support he had at the time. I thought, wait, why are people supporting this guy? He's a horrible person. He was told not to leave the guy alone. He was going to his house. I mean, look at that case.
I know.
That's a case where this guy was told by the police, no, we're sending someone over there. You stay away from that. And no, he has
People argued he was told by 911, not by the police.
Well,
and he doesn't listen to no woman.
911 would have been good enough for me. And by the way, Trayvon was going to his house. Yes. It was his
by
house.
By the way, I don't take no orders from no women.
And the more we know about George Zimmerman, we know that he probably picked a fight with him.
Yeah.
Because...
and he almost lost it.
Oh, no, he's getting his ass handed
to him.
He
definitely lost the fist fight.
And that's why he said he shot him, because he was slamming his head against the concrete, which he deserved for fucking with this guy who was going to his house. I don't know. That's when you look at those two cases, it really, you go, what? Yeah. What? But, I was reading the most annoying email right when we got on with their skin. I just happened to click on this. True. You're honestly so stupid when it comes to this issue. What issue do you think it is?
Oh, I think I know.
Greta.
I should be back in school.
Yep.
Just you are failing us.
Just shut up and stick to what you know. What?
How dare you?
I love you in the show, but I can't take this anymore. I work in climate change. Yes, it is an issue. Who said it wasn't an issue?
Stick to what you know. Don't talk about what you don't know.
Thanks, Juice.
Do your homework and listen to what you said that
I
you support the.
I said
sure do the do your homework line. Uh-huh. I love it.
I think her message was a good message. Climate change, yes. Obviously, aren't most people on board with climate change?
Well, not
most people. Well, most. I don't know. A lot. A lot of people are on board, and I'm not trying to get people off board either. I work at climate change. This is, no world leader has shown the political will to do what needs to be done.
And they won't.
Well, you know,
because
that's
politics.
That's very complicated. And we could get into all that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people like their toys. People like their private jets.
Jobs.
People like to fly. People like to drive their cars, which create carbon emissions. I mean, there's a lot of things that we could do to make it a lot better. But do people really want to do all those things? I don't know.
People are dying.
But, you know, when you tell when you're talking about a world leader, I'm not trying to defend any world leaders. But anyway, no world leader has shown the political will to do what needs to be done. They have the various policy and regulatory tools needed to create the playground for a low-carbon urban future, but no one has the guts. The 12 years countdown refers to the time we have left to maintain the average global temperature well below 1.5 degrees.
The increase, yeah.
If that threshold is surpassed, it would trigger a large-scale collapse of ecosystems and effectively mean a sixth mass extinction event. So is she saying we'll be dead in 12 years?
No, that's the trigger. We'll be in 12 years.
Oh, okay.
Because you got to keep the
elevating. But I keep hearing people say, Miami will be flooded in 5 years. The world will be over in 12 years. I mean, people have said the world will be over. No, it doesn't. I think it's...
Actually, no, it helps message this email.
It helps the other side because they say, oh, why is that world be over in 12 years? Bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
or California was supposed to separate from off the United States. I forgot when that was supposed to happen.
I wish it would.
Yeah, and on the other hand, we'll probably hear some more on the Boner line later this week or early next week. But there
sounds like you know some.
Well, yeah, because there's a lot of people that were upset the other way, saying, how come all the record highs are in the 1800s, huh?
What?
Oh, no.
God. I might question the record-keeping of the 1800s.
This may be the next issue I want to stay out of. Oh, I can't believe we spent time on anti-vaxxing yesterday.
Well,
we also got a lot of pro-anti-vaxxing calls, too.
Pro-anti-vaxxers?
People saying, you know, Tom was right. These vaccines, Bill Gates is killing kids in South Africa with his vaccines. You'll hear
you know what else is killing people? Diseases that these vaccines got rid of.
The California school system, all they teach you about is that we came from chimpanzees and about sharing.
And that's, you know, possibly why kids are not being allowed to go to schools, in public schools, if they're not going to vaccinate, because they can bring things back to kids who are getting vaccinated from them. So I don't think it's just like, you know, we're barely believing that vaccines are good. I think it's a little more than barely.
I should be back in school.
But what can you do? Medicine's not a science.
Well, I can appreciate that Greta isn't the best messenger. That's all I said. That's the whole point. By making fun of her, you're empowering those who don't believe her or her message and magnifying fake information.
No, we're not.
What's the fake information that was magnified?
I don't know.
There is no climate change.
I'm looking at Brand Dunn as the main perpetrator of that.
Oh, yeah.
The science has been crystal clear.
Well, you were kind of a climate denier the one day.
No, it's just I don't think this is a bigger. I don't think it's as big a deal. A lot of people do. I'll say that, and I don't give a fuck.
How big
I'm,
of it? Well,
I'm serious. Okay. I think the Earth has been around for billions of years, and I think it's going to be around a lot longer. I think everything we do to this Earth is something that's coming from the Earth.
The question isn't if the Earth's going to be here; it's who's going to be inhabiting.
Who cares? We're going to kill ourselves anyway in nuclear war one day. It doesn't matter.
That's a great attitude.
It doesn't matter, and I don't think that it's. I don't know. I don't think
all
it's
I know, Brandon,
that
is
big of a deal.
Change is coming, whether you like it or not.
You know what? I recycle. I put the recycling bin at the end of my driveway every single week. I'm doing my part. I'm not going to stop driving because I need to get to
You're
work.
You're failing us.
And you know what?
Can't you get a Prius?
No, I'm not going to get a Prius because I like a big F-150.
How dare you?
See,
They make them out of lighter materials, and they make eco versions of them.
Okay, now to that point,
just made a point.
I don't fly around the world. You know, stop flying around the world.
But the point
that royal couple that'll never be king or queen.
I don't
anyway.
Do that shit.
Idiots flying all over the place and then yelling at the press today.
And they're mad at the
Daily Mail. 99% of the humans on this earth have such a small carbon footprint. It's you know.
But that's why she is trying to get governments to change. But to Trudy's point, it's the companies that'll find a better way to do it
because they have a financial change.
Huh?
You're not going to get companies to change if it means losing money. They're not going to change.
No, that's the point. It takes
Bill
a lot
Ford
of.
Bill Ford Jr. actually did begin that change at Ford, didn't he?
Well, when Trump pulled out of the Paris Accord, most of the companies here said, "You know what? We're still going to abide by it because they realize." That's where it's going. And yeah, the initial investment might be a lot of money, but in the long run, it will save them money. It's a whole new industry. Look how many people don't work in coal anymore and work in renewables.
A lot of it has been failure, and some of it's been success.
Fail.
There's been failure.
You mean there's been failure?
You're failing us.
That's what
happens when you have a new industry. People fail at it, and people succeed at it. And I truly believe people will succeed on a grand scale because it's only getting bigger, in my opinion. That's why I didn't feel that speech was necessary. I thought it hurt her cause. If anything, it hurt her cause because she was such an annoying kid. And I personally, I don't like 16-year-olds yelling at me. I guess she wasn't yelling at me.
People are dying. On the other side of the ocean.
I don't want her childhood stolen. I think there's an adult could get this across better. I think the message could be done a lot better than that. But, okay, just to finish your note.
I think, though, to the point of Greta, is the reason why she is significant is because she's causing all this talk. And I think that's what it takes now to get a message across is somebody who's irritating enough.
The problem is,
I'm afraid a lot of people hate her
to create buzz.
They just want her to shut the fuck up as opposed to listen to what she's saying.
And that's why that causes.
And I don't think saying that your childhood was stolen and that you know you'll never forgive these world leaders. Does that really do any good? Does that really help?
No,
but your childhood was stolen. No, your childhood. You stole your own childhood because you took this on, and I don't know why your parents are letting
we
you do it.
We will never forgive you.
Of course, she has George Soros behind her. So.
Stop it! Don't you love an angry email that agrees with you?
Well, I don't. Okay, I'll just finish the email. Well, it may be unfathomable to you that someone can be depressed about climate change. I can tell you, it's very common. Many of us struggle with grief and feelings of hopelessness. That doesn't mean I don't enjoy my life, but the reality is that our world will change. You have a platform where you can be an ally at the very least. Please don't undermine our efforts to give you a shit. To give a shit about the future, your future, and your little granddaughter's future included. Please, I honestly can't take it anymore. Please drop the topic. It's extremely hurtful.
Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez.
Whatever. I don't know. That's why I dislike Greta the most is because it's causing so much divisiveness. Everybody's pissed off at each other one way or the other.
And David Hogg, I feel the same way. I feel he's not helping the message by saying adults are idiots.
Yeah.
I don't think that helps. No. I'm glad he can do a direct message in a second for his parents.
But see that?
I can't do one, but, you know.
I used to do algebra that my
mom couldn't help me with, and I didn't go, oh, my God, Mom, you're so stupid.
Our parents don't know how to use a fucking democracy, so we have to.
I don't think my mom took algebra, to be honest. I'm not sure. She called it new math.
Oh, it's Common Core.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, no. Okay. I read your email, so I hope you feel better. Let's see if there's another shitty email.
Yes, bitch, I heard you. I'm pretending like I didn't.
What? What? That's terrible.
This damn millennials. What's this?
True, you don't laugh, but that was terrible.
You don't need to read that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, read that one.
That song will not go away, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Misbehaving.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Misbehaving.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Love that tune.
Here's, let's see, Jennifer. Damn millennials. I've been known to stop some fraud in my time. You guys are right. The way they usually work is the fraudster wants the person to deposit the check and then wire them money off of it. A wire is same day, but a check can take 10 days to clear.
God damn it!
Deposits the check, wires the money, the check gets returned, and bam, you get fees up the ass and are still broke. Why would you send anything before the check clears?
Don't take 6 to 7 business days to clear. Does that make sense?
Wouldn't you go, is this check clearing? Are we sure this check is clear? Is there any way this check didn't clear?
But, I mean, you know, maybe they pressure you like, oh, we got to get that money. You're not going to get your package by, you know, you got to get it.
You shouldn't be bugging me until your fucking check clears. I don't know who the fuck you are.
I agree, but the bargain's just too great for them to turn down, apparently.
Somebody called me, somebody actually called Johnny when I was in Florida on his cell phone, and he answers, and it's somebody who wants to, they want to buy his house.
Oh, cool.
And so he just hands the phone to me, and I go, yeah, what's going on? He goes, yeah, we're paying cash for homes here. And so I said, oh my God, I don't know. I started acting like I was really conflicted. I'm like, God, I hadn't really thought about this, but let me put my wife on the phone. I can't do anything without her opinion. So I go, yeah, I'm sorry, what do you want? And I have him on speaker, and the guy's like, yeah, well, we don't know I just don't want to take some low ball amount. It's got to be a good offer. And so he's like, what would be a good offer for you? What would you consider a good offer? I'm like, I just picked up the phone. I don't know. How am I supposed to figure? I was just sitting here in the car, and now all of a sudden I had to figure out what I want for my house. Oh, my God. You know, like I was really upset about it.
This couple has some big problems to worry too much about everything.
I know. It's like, what is going on, though? This guy is he's calling a random number, and a minute later he's asking you, what would you accept for your house?
Yeah.
The biggest asset you have.
It's like the guy that...
I don't even know who the fuck you are.
That guy want to buy your house in Phoenix, dude, didn't we call
Yes. I know, it's madness. So, yeah, person deposits check, where's the money, check, it's turned.
So many people have been stealing my money.
Sometimes it's not a very large amount, so they cash the check, take the cash to CVS, buy a money order, send it snail mail, and then check comes back returned 3 days later. I think of one of my millennial customers being scammed. Her story, she thought she was getting a babysitting job online. The employer lived out of state, but wanted to hire this girl and was giving her a $300 advance on her pay, even though they'd never met.
What?
The girl comes in with her check, and I began asking questions because this is not her usual activity. She tells me the backstory. As I'm examining the check, I looked at the signer. It was Marilyn Monroe. The worst part, this girl's dad was standing there right with her, hassling me for asking questions. Fraudster's end game, to get the girl to deposit the check so they could gather bank information from the back of it. This might not be to scam the girl's personal account necessarily, but to find out what smaller banks are out there and retrieve their routing number so fake checks can be generated off them. Check can be returned, causing the girl a fee and possibly an overdraft if she had already spent the money.
We're all being scammed together.
Wow.
Romance scams are very prevalent, not just with millennials. Actually, one that I can think of was a very highly educated woman who worked as a high-up executive. Fraudsters will invest a very long time in effort to make connections with people because they make a huge return, and usually working multiple people at the same time. It's years of communicating online, building a deep relationship. The fraudster will say they hit a hard time, need some help paying bills. Customer comes in, wants to wire thousands of dollars to someone in Georgia. It turns out the address is for a person in a rundown apartment building in New York. More than that, we tell people they're being scammed. They still insist on sending the money because they're so convinced the person is real and loves them.
I was going to say, if you ever sell anything on like Craigslist, you immediately will get scams and people trying to text you like, oh, can you send me that dresser in the mail? I live in California. they have all kinds of scams. They're actually kind of fun to...
What is the outcome of that scam if you actually would ship a dresser?
Here's one I got. Hi, I'm interested in the stroller we're selling on Craigslist. What's your final offer for it? And I just wrote, I upped the price. I said, listed yesterday. What area are you located? Good price. I'll send you a check and include the check some. This is verbatim. Good price. I'll send you a check and include in the check some money for my mover's payment. Once check is deposited, the leftover fund will be for movers when they pick up. Why would you have movers pick up a stroller? What name and address should I make the check out to? ? I said, I don't have a checking account or checks. And never got a reply back.
That's a great answer.
I love giving an answer that just stumps people.
So ridiculous.
Brandon, you want to get us out of here? Because it is time to go. It just seems like there's...
You are failing us.
So many assholes out there trying to screw with people. It's like... going on?
We will never forgive you.
I feel bad I'm not screwing with anybody now. I feel like I'm part of the trend. It's time to start.
Most of us are just out there trying to do our thing, and these people are always getting in our way.
Not.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay, so thanks to George Young, and hopefully a lot of people go to see George at Grow Green MI at their Fall Harvest Expo this Saturday from 10 to 5. Over 120 vendors, free samples, presentations, a clone swap for seed companies and the lowest prices of the year, and that old outlaw, George Young, Boston George. He said he'd be there 10 to 5. That's a long day for a guy his age. Click Grow Green.
He likes the excitement.
He's an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah, he is. Grow Green MI Fall Harvest Expo. Click growgreenmi.com.
Oh, I was going to try my hand at growing some weed. Steven said he'd give me some of his seeds to get started.
They've got the $10,000 worth of giveaways, trimmer demos, glass blowers, food trucks, free adventure for the first 400. Meet Boston George. Signing autographs, and he'll take a selfie with you, too. So, not bad. I thought it was a great interview. And thanks to Mr. Skin, of course. Go to MrSkin.com, and you can see the 20 most iconic bits of celebrity nudity of all time. And you can read the crappy comments, too. Oh, man. See, he gets it, too. He just calls them assholes, though. I read them. In a very friendly voice, too. Jeez.
Dweller H.
Are we good?
Yeah, we're good. Perfect. 100% Colombian cocaine. My name is George Young, inmate number 420. I guess this is one of those flashback movies or something. I'm from Massachusetts, which is why I talk like a Kennedy who deals blow. My old man was cool, a little naive, and broke. My mom, what a bitch. I decided to bolt in 68, so me and my fat friend Tuna took off for California. All we had was $300 and a TR3.
A month later...
Jeez, George... What are we gonna do for money?
Well, my hot stewardess girlfriend, Bobby, knows some mo who could sell us some weed.
And when I fly east, I could sell it there because I don't have to go through security.
Bobby, let's go see a pot dealing mo friend, Derek, for real.
Okay.
A half hour later...
Hey, guys, how much reefer do we need?
Let's see. Bobby flies east with two suitcases full twice a week. Twin and I hit the beach every day. 100 pounds.
Goodness, you guys are big time.
Months later...
George, are you... East Coast Connection says he needs more dope.
Oh, geez. We'll have to get an RV. Let's see. An RV has 78 square feet. That'll hold 2,019 pounds at 225 a pound. We'll make $128,000 a week. Derek, can you pull it off?
Goodness, George. Of course. I'm getting a boner just thinking about all that money.
Months later, George and Barbie meet George's parents. My God, that engagement ring must be 50 carats. And I love your new Jaguar. I'd have driven the Ferrari. I just don't like packing it anywhere.
Amazing. All this on a construction worker's salary.
It's crazy, Dad.
I'm just glad you found someone, even if she does have a nasty-ass bloody nose.
It's probably from all the blow I've been doing. Either that or brain cancer.
I'll take care of you, baby.
Not so fast, Florence Nightingale. Your buzz is intended to distribute it.
But my fiancé has cancer.
I set bail at $20,000.
Hey, that's cool. I got 20 big ones on me. See ya.
2 years later, Barbie is dead and fugitive George goes home.
George, sorry about your fiancé with the big rock dying.
It's okay, Mom. Hey, Dad.
Hey, let's have a drink while your bitch mother calls the cops.
I'm sorry, Dad.
It's okay. It's just not my first choice for you.
Okay, mother...
Thanks a lot, Mom.
Everyone knows you're a drug dealer. How do you think this reflects on me?
Days later, George is in jail.
Hey, George, I'm your roommate, Diego. Why are you in here, man?
660 pounds of pot.
Well, what do you know about dealing cocaine?
Not much, but I'm ready to learn.
A year and a half later and out of jail.
Hey, George, can you move 110 pounds of cocaine, man?
Let me make a quick call.
Hello?
Derek, can you move 110 pounds of cocaine?
Probably, in about a year.
36 hours later. Hello?
George, I've been up for a day and a half. and I can't get a boner.
What about the blow, Derek?
We need more, George.
Okay, Diego, necesito más cocaine.
More? My God, we must visit Pablo Escobar.
A day later in Colombia, Pablo.
George, un momento. Este hombre es, how you say, a dick. Okay, Diego says you moved 110 pounds in 36 hours.
That's right, I've got planes. My cost is 10 grand a kilo.
I need the U.S. market. Let's shake on it.
Hey, who's that chick that looks like Penelope Cruz?
She's staring at you.
That's weird. I'm a long-haired bum with no job. What the hell would she see in me?
Hola, hombre. I want to marry you.
Wow, you like me for me?
Es how you say, crazy?
Months later, a married George and Diego are supplying virtually the entire U.S. Pablo's blow.
Hey, George, where can I put this $3 million, man?
Try the back bedroom.
I would, but it's full. We'll have to put it in Noriega's bank in Panama, man. By the way, who is selling all of this stuff?
I can't tell you.
And why not, man? You're just the middleman. He and I do all the work. We should meet.
Sorry, Diego.
Really? You tell your Colombian bitch wife, but not me?
Okay, Diego, calm down. It's Derek for real.
Derek for real, eh?
Weeks later, I don't know what's going on. I never hear from Diego or Derek. We're not moving any blow.
Hello?
Derek, ever since I told Diego you're my connection, we haven't moved any blow.
What a coincidence.
I thought we were friends, and you screwed me.
I'm rubber, you're glue. Whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you. It's just business. Bye-bye.
It's okay, George. I'm just about to have your baby.
Ah, you're right. I've got $60 million. What do I need this crap for?
Dios mío, my agua broke.
Oh, my God! When Christina was born, my life changed. I wanted nothing more than to be Christina Sunshine Young's dad. Right then, I knew I was put on this earth to sell and snort cocaine. I mean to be a good daddy. For the next 5 years, I was sober as a judge until my 38th birthday. Mirtha wanted to have some fun.
Party!
Party!
Coke in every bowl.
All my coke friends.
Damn, George, sorry about this. You busted again, motherfucker.
Busted again. Undercover DEA guys as waiters. I made bail and went on the run to Noriega's bank where I got millions.
Welcome to Bank of Noriega. May I help you?
Yeah, I want my $60 million. I'm George Young.
Oh, lo siento. I'm very sorry. Your drug money has been taken by the government of Panama. It's crazy. Sorry, come again. You asshole. Thanks for banking with Noriega.
Days later, fugitive George and Mirtha are driving. Mirtha, there's a cop behind me.
I don't f***ing care. We're broke, you loser.
Mirtha, calm down.
You must be gay. Derek screws you. Diego screws you. You don't screw me. You are gay.
Hey, I'm trying to drive, bitch.
You loco mother f***er.
Easy. Oh, stop it.
Take this and this.
George, you better find another occupation, brother.
3 years later, on the prison phone.
George, I loved you when you had coke money, but now look at you. Without it, you're just a loser inmate. I sneaked another wallet, and the guy attached to it is banging me. Forget seeing your daughter, Christina, unless you come up with big bucks.
Months later, George is out of prison. Derek, I need a crew. One final run, and I'll bribe Mirtha to give me my daughter, and we'll live happily ever after in SoCal. My girl, she's all I have.
Okay, George.
I got a crew. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
Days later.
Are we good?
Yeah, we're good. Perfect. 100% Colombian cocaine. Except, why are we repeating the first scene when I'm inmate number 420?
Because, motherfucker, you busted again. You one of them short bus guys, or what? You got a slow learning curve, George.
This sucks ass. Not because I'm getting 60 years. Not because they show my ugly mug instead of Johnny Depp at the end of the movie. But because I broke another promise to my little girl. The only thing that matters, besides blow.
George Young is incarcerated at Otisville Prison till at least 2015. His daughter has never visited. It's crazy.
That's right, George Young, and I'll be right here 2015 waiting for you when you get out. Yeah. You want snow, motherfucker, man? I'm busting you 4 or 5 times in this movie. When are you gonna figure out you can't be moving that blow without my ass on you? I'm on you like stink on white on ass. Don't be f***ing up again, George Young, and got my eyes on you. Hell, I might be banging that
put a cocaine seller in the house.